away, folks. You're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, my Bella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are like to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all the night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
So, are all corks the same?
Oh, no. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here? I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We're here on the day after a major snowstorm in the Boston area, but we're at work. Paul's even here. Unbelievable. And here to talk about the Patriots for the next 2 hours and a little baseball, too, because, you know, some of this old Mitchell report carries over to other sports and just steroid use in general in pro sports. So,
and Fred has flip-flopped.
Plus, we have to do a mea culpa. We took a list that was on the internet yesterday and, you know, supposedly verified or confirmed by MSNBC, which was a totally bogus list. Yes, there were some people on that list that were in the Mitchell report, but a lot of the people and most of them weren't.
And we were talking about some of the individuals on the bogus list that weren't on the Mitchell list. And Jason Veritek was one of them. I'm sure that got some Boston
Trot
people.
Nixon.
Trot Nixon was another. Albert Pujols was the biggest name that was on the list. None of those guys appeared on the actual Mitchell report.
So we have to apologize for that.
Where'd the list come from?
Well, we got a list before
such
the show
idiot.
That we didn't know where it came from, so we didn't talk about it. We just said that we had a list, but we didn't mention any of the names. Then we got it on – it was on MSNBC from WNBC, I believe, in New York. And we thought that was credible enough to go with, and we went with it, and we were wrong. So we owe that apology to people.
You weren't wrong. MSNBC and NBC
No,
were
not
wrong.
I'm not apologizing. According to Fred, they're all on it anyway.
That's true.
So who cares?
Well, they are.
Yeah, Fred's thing is he wasn't in the report, but Pujols is on it. Everybody else is on it.
They are.
My thoughts on the individuals hasn't changed. They just weren't on the Mitchell report, and for that we owe an
apology. They got it from a different source. That's all it is.
I'm going to use the cliche then. Veritek better get some better stuff then.
I'm not here to talk about the past.
So anyway,
Fred, you've come full circle.
Yes.
It used to be. Lance Armstrong's not taking anything. He would never cheat. He was a miracle. I love him.
I read his book. It destroyed it for me.
And now everybody's on it.
Right. It destroyed it
for me. So
he
was your straw. That was the last straw.
Right.
Okay.
That was it.
Well, at least you have admitted it. That's good.
That was it. Everybody's on it.
So now when you see those commercials.
Marion Jones is on it. Everybody's on it.
See, I think Lance Armstrong would be everybody's on it. Marion Jones.
It's like saying Jose Canseco's on it.
Right.
Obviously.
Even Jose Canseco's doing it.
Well, honestly, I didn't think so because with the rigid testing that the Olympics do.
They can't catch
test
anything.
Test for HGH, right.
They can't catch any of them doing
it. They can't catch any of it.
All of it.
They're all based on testosterone levels.
If you listen to them yesterday, and unfortunately for me, I had an opportunity to catch each and every one of those press conferences live and in their entirety.
How long did it take you to get home?
6 hours and 15 minutes.
Holy.
But anyway.
In that time I watched
the medical guy.
I
told you, I was cursing you out bad yesterday, calling in snow.
6 hours.
I thought Andy was going to come back with, that's longer than your normal work day.
That's just the
facts. Even he had to have a heart for that one. Anyway. One of the medical people, I don't know what the names were, but there was one medical guy who assisted Mitchell on the report, and he was talking about just the impossible task of staying up with the caliber of designer steroids and all the – it's not just HGH they don't detect. They don't detect a lot of stuff. And I don't think it'll ever change. I think they'll always be a step ahead.
No question. There's that guy, Patrick Arnold, who invented Andro, and then he invented something else after that. I mean, he just makes a career out of these designer steroids.
What's he got going now?
I don't know. I'm sure you go to your gym and say, what's that Patrick Arnold guy
doing? Well, Andro, you could buy anywhere.
The only thing
no, but he invented it.
The only thing I
So they all took his and created it, and then it got banned. So he's like always one step ahead. When you hear about Andro, he's on to whatever.
The only thing I think will curb the player's temptation to take this stuff is if in the next generation a dozen guys die.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And then finally they'll say, you know what? I'd rather not be a superstar.
Even that won't stop it, but it will curb it. I agree. Yeah. I think that's the only thing. Because if you suddenly have...
It's not going to... It'll slow some
that's
of
what
it.
I said. It'll
it's
curb
only
it. It going to
slow the guys
will,
that are really on the border.
People will say, geez, 55 years old, 60 years old, $1 million, that's a good life.
That's how I look at it.
Some people would still say that. Right. But I think other people would say, that's not worth it to me.
Right.
You know, to do that. So I think it will curb it, but it won't eliminate it.
Not even close. You'll never eliminate it.
Speaking from experience.
No.
Well, he's
speaking
stopped.
From I would
sure
if I
did.
Needed.
I think he's on
he
the anti
Look
one
how small
now.
He is
he's
now.
On the anti steroid now. It's making him smaller.
It's called not going to the gym and eating donuts in there and then pizza in here.
He's Why trying to find that thing that makes you invisible, you know? Like Claude Rains.
I do have good news for you, Fred. The Patriots are back on the bottom line, as you had predicted yesterday.
Love it. Love it.
Oh, they were they – was it Mitchell took
Mitchell.
Their spot?
Mitchell,
oh.
Mitchell took
their spot.
So that's why you're all worked
crying
up.
Crying like a baby. You should. It was a sad day. It was a sad, sad
but
day.
But I said they'll be back tomorrow.
He was almost as sad as I was the day before when Tony Maz had the report with Drew.
Drew.
So, all right. So we got a lot to talk about, and the Patriots are playing a football game this weekend.
Maybe, if there's not the worst storm in the history of the world based on the questions in the press
they
conference.
They asked Bill if they were going to cancel it.
When I came in, I heard it was going to be rain now.
But has a game ever been canceled for snow?
No.
Not that I've ever heard of.
That game in Miami two years ago wasn't canceled,
but
no
you know
game
what?
Ever will.
You know what, Fred, though? You're right. I agree with you, but might they have learned something? You know, in retrospect, that game maybe should have been canceled.
Right.
Was that a state of emergency when it was?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was.
Yes, it was.
You know, when you're dealing
that
with.
That would be mine. If they
you're dealing about 25,000 people couldn't get here that day.
Right.
I mean, that's a significant.
Including our webmaster.
Well, you know what? You know what made
and that
me,
was not Chris
you know,
Ferreira, by
You know
no,
what
that
made
that
me
was
most mad?
No, he's leaving at 5 a.m.
Yeah. The thing that made me most mad.
I think he's here already for the game.
I got here early. He called me at like 9 o'clock and said. Is the game going to be on? And I said, yeah.
I thought Fred was going to get mad at me for bringing up like another employee's like personal
I said,
history, and he goes into it. And
I said,
but
I,
it's, this is, this
I said
is
yes,
going
it's on. I'm here, you know. He still didn't leave his house till 11. That's
oh,
what
oh
made
dear.
Me mad.
That's the thing about
he
it.
He should have been out of the door after that phone call.
You know, you might just look at it and say, hey, I got an hour ride. It's snow. It'll take me 2 hours. You know, not realizing just the magnitude right. of what you were getting into. But he called to find out what the story was, and he knew 5 hours before the game and still chose to be taking his sweet time to get here. And then that was my favorite Kirsch's, and the only time ever Fred has defended me in commuting stories. Paul got here from Peabody.
Oh, my God. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. I got to do a big shout-out right off the top of the bat to Vinny Ferrero. Vinny, again, sending us lunch.
Yep.
I'd like to ask our...
Regular
you know,
food
our long
providers.
Time lunch buyers to step aside and make way for.
I'm not willing to do that.
No, but Vinny, big one.
Thank you very much.
Says, I ordered lunch for you guys because of the upcoming holiday season. Tom,
yes.
You will have to email me your new menu since you don't eat bread anymore.
No, I just
I'll
took
take
the
meat.
I just took
I'll
the turkey
the meat.
And.
Did you hear this?
I'll take the meat.
I
just
heard.
Meat. I just
I'll
take the
turkey.
Meat.
I'll
hey,
take
Vinny,
the
meat. Gary, how would you like my foot up your little ass? God. I'll take the meat. It's close. It's close.
Tom's fuming over there.
He's not handling the no carbs well. It's irritating.
The bread is sitting here. I had the turkey with the pickles inside of it.
It was phenomenal. Who cut that thing? They're fired over at Puppet Juice.
Well, all right. Well, thank you, Vinny. That
Vinny, you're
is,
the best. The wings were extra good, I thought, today, too. A little crispy. I like the crispiness.
That. I like it. The phones are just ringing off the hook. First off, Salt from Orlando. How's Pepper?
All right. How you guys doing today?
We're doing good.
Hey, I wanted to talk to Tom about the porn classes.
The what?
The porn classes?
Yeah.
Remember the guy with Tom the English class?
UMass Amherst, I read it in an article. UMass Amherst has a class where you got to read, like, Shakespeare books, and then you watch the porn equivalent to it. And you watch, like, 8 films in the semester or something like that.
Really? That's astonishing.
Yeah, swear to God.
Oh, wow.
That's our wonderful state university.
Yep.
And then if you guys do start a cult, I don't got a name, but if you got to make a sacrifice, Brian Morey.
Can I just kill him anyway?
Well, Tom and I.
Chance, guys,
thanks,
take
so.
Easy.
Take care.
Tom and I, right. Andy, we're trying to...
Okay, you can turn the music off now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was in a little trance there. Tom and I were trying to start our own PFW in progress.
I thought a cult would be good.
So we solicited names for our cult yesterday, and that, you know, someone didn't have a name, Salt, but he has a perfect example for a sacrifice.
I'm all for it.
Okay.
He was here yesterday, by the way.
He was?
Oh. Who?
The benefits of my kid being sick yesterday just don't come to an end. The snow, Brian Morey.
Brian's starting Monday, full time.
Do you know what time he'll arrive?
No.
Because I'd like to make sure I'm not in my cube when he passes by. I want him to just go right on
by.
You guys
hours?
Are really snobs. What is this?
Snobs?
I don't think I'm better than him. I just don't like him.
I think I'm better than him.
What did he ever do to you?
Sunday's forecast.
Mid-30s,
wintry mix of precipitation, strong winds with gusts over 40 miles per hour.
That's the key. You know, let's talk about Sunday's weather. We don't know here in the Foxborough area.
By the way, Fred,
area.
That was part of the Patriots tab. Well, they're giving weather reports now.
Well, it's all about the pursuit of perfection.
Who cares?
Obviously, ESPN does.
Do they win 45-3? Do they win 21-0? 4-2?
But it's important for those who are, you know, for entertainment-only purposes, looking at the number. We don't know yet whether it's going to be rain or snow. But either way, it's going to be windy. It's going to be 40-mile-an-hour gusts. It's a nor'easter.
So they'll just run the ball like they do in bad weather games.
Well, we'll see.
Is this it? Like, if Maroney doesn't have a big week this week, is that it?
I think there's a better chance
be the weather.
That Kevin Falk and Heath Evans have a big week. Fred will get his dream. It'll be Heath Evans with 15 carries.
Well, I'd rather see Maroney
just,
with 20.
I noticed Darius Walker, undrafted running back from Notre Dame, made the most out of his 13 carries by getting 66 yards last night.
To be fair, he went up against a pretty bad defense.
Big win for the Texans.
Up against some bad defenses.
Big win for the Texans.
I like those uniforms, too.
The red on red?
Red on red. I like it.
Yeah.
You have bad taste, Paul. Don't shake your head.
I don't like it. I don't like anything on anything. You know, the same color. You know? I don't like the same color combination.
Really?
I usually do.
Like
I like
the Patriots
black
came out
on
all
black.
Blue. I thought that was ugly.
I liked it.
I liked the Patriots blue. I liked the Jets when
black
we were all
black.
Green. I just
green
didn't like that
green.
Red. I didn't like that color.
Oh, I like it. I thought it had a nice little pop to it.
All right.
Well. Are we really struggling 15 minutes into the show?
No, we have a lot of emails. I'm just trying to get out of the way what we need to get out of the way. How
press
was Bill Belichick's press
terrible.
Conference?
Terrible.
Worst
ever.
Worst. Why?
Oh,
what happened?
Terrible.
Well, there was the whole line of questioning like that the world's going to end and they can't have a game. And Bill just said,
Wes
I don't make
Welker
those.
And
yeah,
Randy
then
Moss,
when you were considering bringing in receivers in the offseason, what were you considering? Then some bad question about the postgame handshake.
I thought that was a good question.
Now, were these from local media or from New York media?
I didn't know if it was
one was
mandated.
Very, very, very local.
Did you know why they have to handshake after the game? Like, I didn't know.
Like, how did that start?
Yeah.
No.
That's what I asked.
We still don't. We just know it's probably a tradition.
But it's not league mandated or anything.
No.
It's just a tradition. So I'm surprised Bill even does it.
So
if he doesn't
that
have
was
to,
your question.
Yeah, I wanted to know, does he have to do it?
Right.
I try to ask it in the way without saying, do you have to do it? And
no,
he apparently doesn't have to do it. It's just based, like, on a tradition type thing.
Right. It's a current etiquette.
And for the record, Paul, on our little Christmas story that we're hoping to do for next week, best and worst gifts ever given and received.
Yeah, sorry I didn't ask him that one.
Bill Belichick's still contemplating best gift he ever received. He told me to check back with him next week.
So, all right.
He may not be included.
So
in
it wasn't a very insightful
terrible.
Or interesting press
there must have been no
today.
Questions at all if you guys came up with those.
Oh, I didn't ask that in public.
Oh.
I waited till the side. I wasn't going to ask that in a group setting.
Oh, you took him out to the side to ask him that pressing
question. I wasn't asking that in a group setting.
Okay. And a locker room? How's the locker room out there?
I don't know. It started at 11:30 when we were doing the podcast. It was late.
I saw Eric talking to Benjamin Watson.
He's getting a one-on-one with him for something.
Yeah, I saw him outside. He was conducting that interview as I walked by.
Okay, so we'll get a report from Eric later in the show, I'm sure.
We won't know what it means, but
some personnel moves, Andy. You want to fill us in on those?
You guys didn't talk about Mike Wright yesterday. That was after.
That was after the show.
Oh, Mike Wright on IR. Steven Spock, as in Spock on
Gene
Star Trek.
Something something Kowski.
I like seeing his name.
His brother Scott something something Kowski.
You know what I think is funny? I heard this coming in on the radio, and they send the release to radio stations, right? That's where they get it.
Mm-hmm.
So when the guy goes, "Patriots signed Steven Spock," I'm thinking in the release,
they have the pronunciation.
Spock. And it's not a hard one. You know how I struggle with and have hyphens and uppercase? It says Spock, S-P-O-C-K. Spock rhymes with, you know. But that's a minor move.
That's
the
it.
The depth on the defensive line is now a question.
Oh, too bad for Mike Wright. I don't think he was ever 100% this year.
Probably not.
Yeah, he was banged up throughout the year. You're right, friend.
He had lower extremity issues for most of the season. We talked about it on the podcast.
Lower extremity issues.
The rotation, you know.
They make pills for that.
Is this someone on the phone?
Coming off last week with all the rotating they did, this is like linebacker. They lost part of their rotation there, and that could be a concern moving forward with all these big fat guys playing a lot of snaps going down the stretch.
It's another one of those things that we just kind of threw out there and ended up being right about when we were talking about, actually, you weren't here that day. I forgot you called in snow. When we were talking about Rashad Moore.
That day, you mean yesterday?
Rashad Moore and Bobby Hamilton being in for workouts, Tom, and we were saying that Wright didn't play at all in the second half.
Yeah.
Against Pittsburgh, maybe there's an issue there. And
so Bobby Hamilton's still trying to play. He'll be Scott Erickson in my mind. I'll see him on a field somewhere someday and say, he didn't retire 5 years ago? Because I thought he was at the end of the line when he was here. And for that guy to
and
still be bouncing around.
He's played like 3 more years.
The guy never got off the line of scrimmage once.
He hasn't played
ever.
This year, though.
But he understands Bill's scheme.
Right.
I thought he had to be able to play.
On the phone is Mike and Sharon. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to add my 2 cents on the whole Mike Wright going to IR and us signing a tight end. Quite frankly, I'm really concerned about our inside depth because not only don't we have any inside depth, I mean, McKevin Smith, I believe, played some inside, some nose for us during the preseason. But even still, you know, behind them, I mean, we don't have really – except for Eric Alexander, a backup inside linebacker. And really what has made this team, the front seven, so good is their ability to rotate people in and out. And I think that's worrisome, especially going into the playoffs.
That's well said, Mike. I wouldn't download today's roster report because you pretty much just summarized it in 2 sentences.
Yeah, no,
that's the issue with this roster move. 2 levels there in the front seven, they're now without their ability to rotate as much. And you know, it might not be a concern if no one gets hurt, but if somebody gets banged up, it's a concern.
Well, like with Vince Wilfork, last game it seemed like they rotated him in and out a little bit more than they normally do, especially on first downs. And he was all over the place because he was allowed to rest a little bit.
That could be. And we were talking about, you know, once they clinch everything this week, I think there's a chance you see Lakeven Smith in there. Not necessarily because he's ready or they want to see him, but because they want to monitor Vince Wilfork. And I think when everybody talks about sitting people and not going for the kill, that's one of those things where they have the luxury of resting some of those defensive linemen, and Vince Wilfork in particular, even though they don't really have a backup.
Yeah, I agree.
Well,
thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Good stuff, Mike.
Yep, Mike brings up a good point, and it's something to concern. The injury bug is finally starting to affect the Patriots
a little
bit.
Because you might not think... You know, the names that are going down aren't Brady and Moss and Welker, but they're, you know, significant nonetheless in that they chip away a little bit at the depth.
Sure, sure.
An up-to-date forecast of Sunday's Northeaster. By Sunday morning, there'll be a mix in this
area. By the
area.
Way, it's a Nor'easter, not a Northeaster.
Oh, I just thought the apostrophe was short for
it's
North.
It's not someone who went to Northeastern University.
You know what? The heavier snow is further down now than it was last night.
And now the shape of the mix just changed, and now it's a hot dog going up north and south rather than east and west.
Yeah, we're definitely on that rain mix.
This is late Sunday evening, they're saying, though?
Yeah, but,
it's going to go all day, whatever it is.
But that heavy snow line last night was up a lot further. So
in other words, it's going to take me 6 hours to get home.
It's right in close to Foxborough now. Up to 6 inches possible just to the north of us, coating to a few inches down south.
But it's the wind. I don't care about that. It's the wind.
I'm not worried about Tom Brady throwing the ball. I'm worried about me driving home.
I was going to say, I'm just, you know, with all due respect and everything, I'm not really all that concerned about the game and how it's played on the field. I'm more worried about my life.
The game is not going to change. The Patriots will win regardless of the way it unfolds.
Tom, you're coming in with Carol?
Yeah.
How are you getting home?
I have Allison come get me.
Oh, okay.
Because it'll be a lot easier at that point. Yeah, it'll be night. People won't be here.
Sure. You're not complaining.
No.
All
he
right.
He lives a stone's throw from the stadium.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And anything else before I get to some of the emails? Do you want to talk about the steroid thing a little bit? The Mitchell report? Because
you're just throwing around crap.
You're not really
here to hear it.
Being genuine and honest.
I'm not being genuine.
I think you're being genuine. I just think you're wrong.
Yeah. You've Mitt Romney.
My point is, or my belief is that, so what? Nothing's going to happen as a result of this.
I know, Andy and I have been saying so what for years. Right. But when you put a face with that, when you say Roger Clemens is taking steroids, that changes from everybody's doing steroids.
Right.
If Teddy Bruschi is said to be doing steroids, all of a sudden his heart attack and all, it takes on a different meaning.
Like, okay. What would have happened yesterday for you to have said, wow, that's significant? Like, did they just decide steroid use was so rampant in baseball, we decided to suspend operations and stop the sport?
Yeah, not much.
I mean, like,
what would that do?
You keep saying that nothing's going to happen over it. They can't really do anything about it. It's all been done in the past. We all knew that. But now, like Tom said, you have names, you know, with the thoughts that you've had for years. And I love Roger Clemens. I've always liked Roger Clemens when he was a Red Sox. I loved him everywhere he's been since. His name is there now. Now we already knew. Everybody knew that he was probably one of those guys. Now you know.
All right. And now what?
Now he's probably not going to the Hall of Fame, Fred.
Okay. But as far as the game of baseball
goes, to me it's
goes.
Significant that one of the preeminent players in the history of the game cheated. That, if you don't think that's significant, that's fine.
Like Barry Bonds.
I think that's significant.
Mark
McGwire. By the way, a story that's been in the limelight for 2+ years now that you think is irrelevant. I don't understand that.
Well, I just don't think
I don't really care about the steroid stuff anywhere near as much as other people, but to call it insignificant, I just don't get that.
I think that as a result, nothing's going to happen. I mean, it's baseball. You know, a lot of people say, oh, it's a dark day for baseball.
It's a ridiculously dark day for baseball.
That happened a long time ago.
But now they know it happened. Everybody thought it did. Now they know.
Well, maybe they thought it did with Clemens, but they knew steroids existed in baseball.
And now they know it's the not just
and
the,
we
not
know
just
they
the
exist
best,
in the NFL.
Not just the
but
worst.
The day they announced Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are proven steroid users is a far different day than
exactly.
We know they're all doing it.
Exactly.
And you don't agree with that?
Don't you think that there's a lot of steroid use in the NFL that goes undetected?
Yes.
Now, you don't think it's different if Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are two guys that they put on some Mitchell report 8 years
from
now?
That would be huge.
Of course it would be.
But there's no. But all the they were talking about Clemens on this report and using for months.
All right. So,
but it wasn't official.
It was no, it wasn't. But people suspected it for months.
Oh, well, I suspect James Harrison has taken steroids.
Right.
I
suspect a lot of individual players that I'm not going to throw names out there right now because it's more irresponsible than what we did.
Or
yeah,
baseball.
But
both.
It's more irresponsible than what we did yesterday.
Basketball, hockey.
Okay. So in 8 years from now, if we find out definitively those names, that will be insignificant to you?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, if you have a strong suspicion now, you probably have a reason to have a strong suspicion.
I just look around
like
and use my eyes.
A former shortstop on the Boston Red Sox. We all think.
Well, by the way, he wasn't on the list.
I know, but
who, by the way,
but had
I still
source.
Think is
of course.
Forcing.
Exactly.
Of course I
That's
think he was.
Point. You're making my point.
Yeah, but you're not you're, making a good one.
Yes. Roger Clemens, one of the greatest
right. Who we all were always, ever. That people suspected. It's not, oh my God, I can't believe it.
See, you know what you got to do with Fred? You got to read between the lines, like a Belichick press conference. Something's coming out about some Patriots
yes.
soon.
I
Fred's laying the groundwork
well,
right now.
That's I found that funny all week. You know, while we were preparing for the Mitchell report, people were talking about the delineation between HGH and steroids.
Yeah, no.
There
and
is
how,
none.
And how HGH
so
is.
One can get caught, the other can't.
Of course there is none. You're absolutely right, Fred. But, you know, people were talking about, well, HGH is used not as a performance enhancer. It's used as a speed healer for injuries. And, you know, we all know that the only reason why people on Boston Sports Radio are saying that is because
right.
one of our own got caught.
And I'll take it a step further. Sean Merriman was made fun of because he did a halftime interview wearing a tank top, which people thought was fueling into his musclehead mentality. But I haven't heard Patriots fans complaining now that Rodney Harrison, when asked about wearing short or long sleeve this weekend, pointed to his biceps and said short sleeves to show off the guns.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I don't know. I thought it was fueling into the fact that he's a proven cheater.
And to answer
a
your
drug
question,
user.
Fred, nothing is wrong with that. Yes. But we're just trying to point out the ridiculousness of the merriment.
But Andy,
they're both the same thing. They were suspended for performance-enhancing
but Andy,
drug
absolutely.
Use.
If I have a bad shoulder and I'm lifting weights and I'm taking something that doesn't make my shoulder bad, isn't that performance-enhancing? It's not limited.
You're right.
Like even if they say, well, we both disagree with that it's not
right.
But even if they just say it's just for healing,
right?
That
coming
leads,
back faster.
That
is
leads
performance
to yes, it's
right.
The same.
No
thing.
Question.
That's what I.
No
think.
Question.
That's why I don't have the delineation that you know the so-called sicko fans do.
And
now.
The other aspect I like about this with Clemens in particular is the Dan Duquette thing. That maybe Dan Duquette was right, and he was in the twilight of his career.
Exactly.
Except the twilight of his career included these new substances that make sure the twilight of your career actually makes you better, not worse.
Look, I'll even take it a step further, and I think he probably started. The Mitchell Report suggested that it started in 97,
right.
His first year in Toronto, but it probably started in 96 when he was with both Mo Vaughn and Jose Canseco here in Boston. My guess is that he was injured a lot in 95. Canseco and Vaughn were there then, too. He was looking to get back to his old self, looking for ways. Hooks up with Canseco, who hooks him up with whoever.
Right.
Maybe that Brian McNamee guy up in Toronto. I don't know. He gets back on. Because his 96 season wasn't that much different than his 97 season,
right.
Except for his one loss record. Everything, you know, his strikeouts were comparable. His innings pitch were comparable, slightly below. But then he goes to, you know, and takes off. Maybe Duquette knew, hey, there's something not right here.
Well, they all knew.
They all knew.
That's the problem with the report. And I think that, as much as the names is interesting, is the emails, is the conversations
right.
with Sabian and the guys with the
Giants.
The
absolutely most interesting thing I heard yesterday was the email exchange between Theo and the scout about Eric Gagne.
Yeah, they knew.
See, I thought the biggest thing, I skimmed it when I was at home.
I haven't
yesterday.
Read it at all.
Oof, it's long. And it's repetitive, and there's a lot to it. But skimming it, Sabian... Is he the president? What is he with the Giants?
GM of the Giants.
GM. The trainer went to him number of times about Bonds, about Greg Anderson being around, about
and he
clearly,
just looked the other way.
Not only that, he said that. Well, he said, "What do you want me to do about it?" And the trainer said, "I'd like to kick Greg Anderson off premises and not allow him to come here." And Sabian said, "We'll do it." And the trainer said, "But are you going to back me up?" And he said, "You need to handle your own problems." Like, he wouldn't commit to anything. He just wanted to say, if Barry Bonds hits me 70 home runs,
right.
I just want to be in the background. I don't want to have any part in this.
Right.
And I think that was
that's just an example
of all of them doing the same thing.
That's another reason why I say it's a dark day for the game. Because this is showing, without question, definitively, how much and when owners, personnel, front office personnel, and everybody else was all a part of this and knew and looked the other way. And it's a lot.
That's
it's extensive.
You should read it, Fred. You should print it out or go on. It's in an Adobe document. You can just scroll through it. And there's just more than the
names. It's only 409 pages.
More sorry. Than the names is, you know,
Eric's got it. He highlighted the first page.
But there's so many incidents of a trainer in the Twins locker room found a syringe just sitting in a guy's locker and brought it to Tom Kelly. And Tom Kelly just said, throw it away. And no one. There were just syringes, drugs, you know, bags. They'd find a bag full of pills.
Mm-hmm.
Just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knew about it, but everybody just said, and throw it away.
You know, and I'm not trying to single out baseball, but.
You shouldn't.
I mean, ever since Jim Boughton came out with Ball 4 in the early 70s, you know, it maybe not performance-enhancing drugs, but drugs have been a big part of baseball for a long time.
And absolutely. Football.
Absolutely.
You know, and probably football, yeah. North Dallas 4.
I
don't limit it to football. I just think sports in general.
Yeah. These guys are young guys with a lot of money.
They don't
have a lot of free time. So when they have free time, they want to make the most out of it, you know. And they're hanging around with sycophants, people who are leeching off.
But it's beyond that. It's not young guys with a lot of money. It's young guys with $100 at the local Gold's Gym that are in the middle school.
I'm just talking about recreational drugs, too, as well as performing enhancing. On the phone is Mike in Toronto. Mike, how you doing? Mike is gone.
Matt in Toronto.
Matt.
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Good,
Matt.
How you doing? Now, you any link to the steroid Toronto Blue Jays thing?
How tight are you with Brian McNamee, and what did you know and when?
I have no idea who he is, but...
good call.
You know what? The whole thing with Clemens and coming to Toronto and everything. Paul, didn't he start using his splitter more in Toronto? So he kind of got away from...
It's funny, because... you know, I don't know exactly the timeline, but I always thought that the reason for his downfall in Boston in specifically started because I thought he had a reliance on that splitter. I just thought that he didn't throw his fastball enough. Now, I'm certainly no baseball scout or, you know, anybody that would know enough. Obviously, you have to mix up your pitches and stuff. I just thought he got a reliance on the splitter, and I thought that took away a little bit from the velocity on his fastball. I don't know if that's true or not, but just
yeah,
something
from watching.
He started
to monkey around. He didn't have the same velocity. Remember, he went through a whole thing where he used to start, he would try to trick guys with sidearm and changing his arm angle. And
I thought he did too much of that stuff.
And he had leg injuries, or he couldn't get any power anymore. Yeah, I certainly think the steroids had as much to do with it as the split finger.
That was certainly toward the end of his Boston career and when he went to Toronto, yes.
Speaking about the whole steroids, and it's always been the players have been taking the rap and the heat. I've been saying all along to, like, my parents or, you know, people in around here that I think it's owners' management's fault because at the end of the day, they're looking the wrong way when they knew about the stuff going on. And I still believe that maybe some owners were paying for maybe not steroids but the training, the facilities. I mean, these owners they're wealthy. The players are rich, but the owners are wealthy. And these players are just making the owners more wealthy. You know, but
that's really deep, but I agree with it.
Yeah, that's just my opinion. Anyways, Paul, I finished that book, The Blueprint.
Rob's book or the Patriots book?
The Patriots book.
Oh, okay. How was it?
It's unbelievable.
Is it good?
It's unbelievable, yes.
The Blueprint. Did you read that, Fred? Did you read Chris Price's? You did?
I did.
I
think
like it, Fred?
You didn't like it?
You didn't like
well,
it.
I think a lot of it was just taken from, you know, sources that we've already read.
See, like the Mitchell Report. Living up here and first you know, I'm still young and being at a university, I, you know, didn't know the whole history, a lot of that. So,
yeah.
No, you know, learning about that was, it was great. And it wasn't as, I thought it was compared a little bit to Moneyball. I thought Moneyball was a little different, knowing that history a little bit more. But it was good. It was good read, and I recommend it to anyone. It
yeah. Matt, that was what Chris was setting out to do, was Moneyball, basically.
Okay.
He wanted he said the Patriots were the Moneyball version of the A's in the NFL.
Yeah, with Billy Beane and Scott Pioli.
And world titles.
The only thing missing was the titles for Oakland.
Hey, Tom, do you read that thing about Laurinaitis? He's going to stay back in college?
Yeah, that's what they're saying now. I just, with him being in the national title game, I'm weary of that because if they win, I'm wondering if he changes his mind. See, right now, everybody says they're staying.
That's not definitive, is it?
No, okay. No. This, well, I said yesterday, Andy, word is that Maualuga, a lot of those guys are going to come back to try to win a national title.
I'd heard that.
And that sounds to me like they all made a conscious decision together. So I would hold more water, you know, I think that holds more water, where Laurinaitis is probably just saying this because he has a national championship game to get ready for. He doesn't want talk to be about the draft. So I still think there's a good chance that he could come out.
And if he does and we do get him, who's doing the first interview with his dad?
Andy.
We'll
let Andy do that, even though I'm a bigger wrestling fan. Andy do it. I still watch it. You don't.
That's true.
But I'll let Andy do it because he's been doing his hawk impressions all around the office. I don't want to break his beady little heart.
And you think Pioli will have to sell this little draft a little bit more about who they're going to take and maybe if someone wants to jump up and grab Matt Ryan or little things like that.
Oh, I think there's going to be a ton of rumors. That's the one great thing I think that's going to be about this draft. Normally there's nothing going on about the Patriots because, one, they're picking 30 whatever and nobody cares.
Right.
And, two, they don't like information out. This year I think it's going to be just the opposite. You're going to have the Patriots linked to about 75 people at number two. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and Matt, pay attention because we just may be the ones starting some of those rumors. Right here on PFW in Progress.
But they won't take Darren McFadden. Won't take Darren McFadden.
I don't want Darren McFadden. One thing, one more question for you guys. If, I don't think this is possible, but with the Bills playing a game in Toronto, there's no way it's the Pats going to be coming up to Toronto.
To play?
Yeah, next year. They'll keep that game in Buffalo, won't they?
No, to have a square dance.
I never heard that they were.
They're going to discuss the Mitchell Report.
No, but when was that out there?
Well, Buffalo's going to be
Buffalo's playing.
No, I know, but was the Patriots rumored to go play?
No, he's Matt's a Patriots fan.
Matt,
he's hoping that the Patriots are the team that Buffalo
Matt,
plays.
Let me explain to you what happened here. Fred stopped listening to you, and you caught him off guard.
Well, why
wouldn't
the Patriots be a team that plays Buffalo in Toronto?
That's what he's hoping, that the Patriots are the team.
I thought he said that they won't be. Okay.
Hey, Fred, you should listen to me a little bit more. I come from that same bloodline that you come from.
What's that?
What?
Money?
We're both Yiddish.
I'm not.
You're not?
No.
With a name like Kirsch?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
My bad.
Plus, anyway, I think you just offended him.
No, I just, I'm not, yeah.
Oh,
I thought you might say American Indian, because I am from there.
Are you really?
Sorry, I didn't mean to do anything. I just thought with the name like Fred Kirsch, you were Jewish.
No, it's probably somewhere down the line.
So did the Crafts when they hired him.
Anyways, boys, thanks, and Patriots, you're going to kill him this weekend.
All right.
The weather doesn't matter.
See you, Matt.
Okay, Matt. Thank you. Matt from Toronto. Great city out there.
The pipeline of the steroid controversy.
Well, he was very tight, as he said, with Brian McNamee.
Have you ever visited Toronto?
I've never been to Toronto.
Highly recommended.
I have no desire.
Is that a good weekend vacation?
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. I've been thinking of doing that.
No desire.
Like I did with Baltimore.
Why no desire?
Ago.
Well,
no
in
desire.
Tom's defense, he has no desire to go anywhere.
Right.
Spend money to do what? Walk around the city?
To do what?
To do what?
What am I going to... What does Toronto have that TV doesn't?
I could find Toronto on HD somewhere.
All right, webradio at patriots.com. You know, I love our listeners because...
Wait a minute.
What?
To play?
To play?
Why else would the Patriots and Bills...
He was looking off into space. I know
yeah,
exactly
Tom
what
Tom hit
happened.
It right on the head. He wasn't paying attention. He caught a couple of stray
yeah,
words.
Right.
So, laryngitis. Can we get back to that for a minute? Sorry,
no,
Fred.
Because I no, was I, talking.
But the problem is, it's four paragraphs of the Pulse story I just wrote.
What?
Well, where is
oh,
this
no,
information
that's just
coming
the,
from?
He's just saying right now, yeah. Oh, I'm going to come back.
Oh, okay.
Even it's if he a, said he was, until he doesn't
declare. I could just call Kuiper and get a reaction because he told me to call him anytime any news breaks. And
I'll be calling him. Don't you think it's a waste to have him call him Paul because he doesn't
he
know anybody?
He is so worked up.
It's not like he knows anybody that Kuiper's
are there
talking
any,
about.
Like, on the bubble.
That was good.
Are there any on the bubble guys from Arkansas that, you know, we have to keep an eye on that now that Petrino's there, say, I don't want to play for this guy. It might declare that who wouldn't have? Any guys that
nah,
we need
I
to
think
keep
the
an
guys
on?
That are going to come out, we're going to come out anyway.
Oh, okay.
They were a young team, especially defensively, so I don't think there's a lot of blue chip guys that are going to be coming out of.
Where would
Arkansas.
Felix Jones go, Tom?
I'm hearing like in the 20 to 32 range. Like
that high, huh?
Yeah. That's what
Kuiper likes him.
That's what I was hearing.
Well,
like,
a lot of people like him.
Round.
I was hoping to steal him like in the second round or
what
something.
What is Chris Ferreira's people saying about Felix?
We don't know yet.
I don't know.
But the thing, Andy, like the only thing I mentioned, the Maualuga thing, was because it sounded like a lot of those guys had gotten together, discussed it, and have kind of made an unofficial decision, like is close to an official decision as you can, that yeah, we're going to come back. Now that right. might change, but laryngitis, I think, was just blowing the questions off to we're focused on the bowl game, and you got to believe if they win, he's probably coming out.
Right.
I've seen him four,
and I read
five,
your, I read
six.
Your story already. There's nothing oh, okay. in there, and I would say that even if he definitively said I'm coming back, I don't believe those guys ever
right.
until the
no.
deadline comes and they don't declare.
Right.
Now. All right, you're going back. That, you know, that's fine. You know, a lot of these guys, they enroll for second semester and they keep their options open, which is smart. You don't want to eliminate your college option if things don't go right for you.
It's funny
in
you,
the pre-draft
you brought
area.
Up Felix Jones. That's his name, right? Jones.
Yeah.
In Kuiper's little world, the two Arkansas backs could either one could help the Patriots in McFadden because they bring value to the pick. And somebody wants to soup up, but he actually thinks because of the likes of Felix Jones and some other guys, that'll devalue any team on McFadden because they say, I can get him late in the first or in the second round.
Half the money.
And not have to pay all the money, not have to trade up. So those two guys sort of tied into the Patriots. But there will be a lot coming out.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking earlier about the weather, and before I was interrupted by Fathead, I was going to say, I love our emailers and our listeners because no matter what the subject matter, there's somebody out there that's in that business.
And usually,
oh, yeah.
Usually
that
strippers.
That is true.
And we have one of our listeners is Gary. He's from Virginia Beach, Virginia. He's originally from Stowe, but he's a retired meteorologist.
Oh, nice.
And he says, I hope the Pats are ready for wind and rain, not snow, during the game.
Oh, that'd be great.
I do not see a lopsided game because of the weather factor and limited Pats experience in it. Short passes, running game, need to be sharp, fumble-free. So he's saying a lot of wind and a lot of rain, but no snow.
So he's a real weatherman.
He's from the Navy. He's retired Navy. He was a meteorologist.
No offense, but
legit for me.
So that means he doesn't know what he's talking about.
I was going
to
say, isn't he wrong 50% of the time then?
What's wrong more often, Paul? NFL referees or weathermen?
NFL refs, you know
okay.
that.
All right. On the phone
like
is Dan in Delaware. Dan, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
What's up, Dan?
It's great to talk to you.
You too.
Hey, I want to talk about Maroney here for a minute.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people have been writing in to defend him a lot, and it's really getting on my nerves. They've been picking on the offensive line and giving all kinds of excuses. You know, that 11-yard run he had in the last game, that was because the offensive line picked him
right.
up and ran him.
Yep.
And then the touchdown he had the week before was because Mankins pretty much just threw him in the end zone.
Yep.
I think he would have been stopped if Mankins hadn't done that. You know, so you can't pick on the line for that. I just don't think he's a Patriot-type player, you know. I think the team's doing well. And, you know, when the defenses are in nickel packages or dime packages, you know, when they're in cover two against us, you should be able to run
exactly.
5 yards.
Exactly.
Well, as much as I love to defend Patriots players, I can't argue with any Patriot fan who has that opinion right now because the evidence is against me.
Yeah. You know? But, you know, I think his biggest problem is his attitude. I think he's the type of player that just needs to be coddled a bit. And this is a team full of
he's not going
to
get caught.
We don't have time. Yeah. We don't have time to babysit.
I think you might be right there. That's the way Bill runs things. I don't know if it's good for him.
Yeah, I mean, look what he said to Kevin Falk after he scored that touchdown a few weeks ago, you know? Hey, great touchdown. Next time, hold on to the blank and ball. You know, that's just not the kind of player. Maroney's not the kind of player that can handle that. He needs someone to sit down and tell him how great he is all the time.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think he needs to be coddled, and I also think, and Andy's been talking about this for a while, is he's constantly telling everybody how good he is, which to me is a sign of insecurity.
Exactly.
A.K.A. L Train. Step your game up, player.
First of all,
you need to step your game up, player.
He has way too many AKAs for a guy who, you know,
DNP
doesn't have any YDSs.
Yeah, well, Falk is hitting the hole better than he is. And Falk, let's face it, I like Falk a lot, but he's an option back. He's not like a Dylan.
Well, Falk's a professional ball player.
Yeah, but he's not an every down back. Plays third base for the Red Sox.
He's Michael Ault.
He's white.
He's big baby.
He's in that ilk.
You have one of those for every team. So it's Falk, big baby, and Michael Ault.
Well, Troy Brown's in that category too.
Sure.
He's just a pro ball player. You know, he's smart.
Yeah. You know, but I think Maroney could be good in this league. I just don't think he could be good in this league with the Patriots.
That could be true. That could be
true. Different type of coach to bring out.
He needs Herm Edwards.
Yeah.
Hey, you know,
he might need somebody to tell him he's a star because he thinks he's a star.
Not to get off the subject, Dan, but speaking of Herm Edwards, I saw a report that kind of linked him to maybe some college jobs, and I was thinking if there was ever a perfect college coach, it's Herm Edwards.
Yes. Yep. No question.
What's he doing? Get
right.
out of the pros.
That's true.
Go to
That's
college.
A good point. That is a good point.
Does he have any college background? No.
I don't think
he was a player.
It's not nice, and maybe everybody, because I was thinking of him, Lawrence Maroney today, and I was thinking I grew up in Malden. And this guy called Grafoni was his last name. We used to call him Phony Grafoni. So I've been calling Maroney Phony Maroney for a while now.
That works.
I know that's not nice, but and like I said, I think he's doing
nice.
Good. Just
neither are
not
we.
With the Patriots.
Yeah, well, we might find out in the future, the near future.
Yeah.
All right, see
All
you,
right.
Dan.
Good call.
You guys have a great day.
Dan in Delaware.
Okay,
thanks, the smallest
Dan.
State.
That was one cheery SOB, wasn't it?
Even while
the guy was in a great mood.
And the whole time he was kind of, you know, and I, not that like Fred said, I don't have anything to argue with him about because I think everything he said was true.
Yeah, that's why I think Maroney's going to be an ex-Patriot.
Do you know
Fred's
that Delaware
jump
is
ship
the
on
first
him.
State?
What? The first state.
First state.
I don't
Delaware.
Really care.
And I'm watching Clemens and some of these highlights they're showing of him, like, with his workout regime. What an egomaniac. He has this place that he's working out, and he's doing those isometric drills and stuff with the trainers and catching the balls and stuff. And on the wall on the side, there's this huge framed Yankee shirt, 22, with, I mean, come on, what kind of an ego do you have to have your own shirt in your own workout facility?
He's pretty good at
Seriously.
Big ego.
Yeah, McDonough was right. Brian in Honolulu, speaking of baseball, he says the Texas Rangers of the early 90s had Canseco, Palmeiro, Pudge Rodriguez, Juan Gonzalez, and Sammy Sosa. Who owned that team? That is someone Mitchell should question. Wasn't that George Bush at the time?
Yeah. I think that's what he was referring to, right?
Okay.
The Baltimore Orioles of the mid-90s are also a team that you have to wonder with Rafael Palmeiro, Brady Anderson, Bobby Bonilla, Chris Hoyles, all guys that had like their career high in home runs that year. By the way, there was an iconic shortstop that played on that team that kind of played more games consecutively than anybody in the history of baseball who, I don't know, you might think that that's an odd thing to play every game when you're like 35 years old. I'm just saying. Cal Ripken?
Right.
I don't know.
thought you weren't naming names.
It's funny how Brett Favre's career kind of rejuvenated this year.
Well, we're naming names as fans.
I'm not naming.
We're not naming names as journalists.
We're not. Oh.
Right. We're having a barroom talk.
And I'm also
right
not
here
naming names of Patriots.
Yeah, I'm not saying James Harrison is on steroids. I'm just saying he probably is.
Mike in Florida. Oh, I envy you. First, being from Canada, we played football.
You just read a guy from Hawaii, and you're envying a guy from Florida?
He'll be
where
there
it
soon
smells and it's gross?
He'll be there soon.
Being
am I going to be
Canada,
in Hawaii soon? Are you sending somebody?
What's that?
We decide on that?
No.
We didn't decide, or we're not sending anybody?
I'll bring people in before I send you guys. Okay. You don't deserve not, the way not, you treat me.
I don't want to go, Fred.
I don't really want
to
go
either. It's fine that you weren't going to send one of us, but you didn't have to be mean about it.
I'm
going to
be mean.
That was a little mean.
You're right.
Maybe Bill would tell me there is Christmas.
Being from Canada, we played football every Sunday, rain or shine. I remember a game where it was snowing so bad you couldn't see more than 10 feet. The score was 42-35, so I don't want to hear them.
Sounds like a lot of turnovers for touchdowns.
Unless
tonight
there is heavy wind, Pats 45, Jets 3. Well, there will be heavy wind. Second, the Pats offense is so far ahead of any other team that the only time I would worry about our defense is the AFC Championship against the Colts. That is the game where I would pray for bad weather. It will be a close game in good weather, but I would feel better about the outcome if there's bad storm. And third, this is not a dark day for baseball. Bringing this out in the open will hopefully save some lives in the future, and that's a good thing. This is a great day for baseball, if you ask me. Oh, and by the way, Fisher calling a code red on Merriman, whether it was called or not, it couldn't have happened to a better guy. So that's Mike in Florida. And now on the phone is Paul in North Carolina. Paul, how you doing?
What's up, Paul?
Paul.
I'm on the road right now driving, so I hope you can hear me all right.
Oh, we can.
Loud and clear, good buddy.
I was listening to the podcast from yesterday, and I want to talk about Veroni. But I don't want to exactly defend him because I agree with a lot of the points that, you know, he's not getting the carries because he's not performing. He's not performing, that's obvious. But one of the things I wanted to raise was, I don't know if Paul's there, but I
I'm here
this weekend, and I heard him talk about, I heard him get the call about Maroney and defense is keen on Maroney, and I don't know if I believe that at all, but I did look up the stats in the last 5 weeks on when Maroney's in the game and how often he gets the ball.
Yeah.
And it's more than 2-1. I mean, when he's in the game, over 50% of the time he gets the ball. What that means, I don't know. But compared to Falk, Falk is at 24%. Who else did I look up? I looked the receivers up there. Moss and Walker at 19%.
Just out of curiosity, Paul, out of curiosity, where did you look this up that you could tell when a guy was in the game and whether or not he got the ball on?
In the game, you got Mike Reese. He does an excellent job giving you the offensive plays, the players in.
He does an excellent job.
He takes all the crap out, all the nail downs and other such stuff like that. And then I did a looks and touches, like, because I'm in fantasy football, so I look at, you know, how often a guy's getting the ball, not just how often he's catching the ball, but how many times he's thrown to. And Yahoo does an excellent site on number of touches by a running back, and then number of looks for receivers or like a Falk, and they'll count like how many catches he has plus how many times he was actually, you know, the receiver that was targeted.
Yeah, my point that I tried to make on Sunday when people were saying that defense is key on him. First of all, I don't believe for a second that any defense would ever key on Lawrence Maroney. He gets the ball, you know, 8 to 10 times a game.
Agreed.
But
agreed.
The point I was trying to make is that this is a league that's filled with guys that everybody and their mother knows are going to get the ball virtually every play, and they still find a way to be productive. And the example I said was, I don't know how LT does it, because, I mean, when has he ever gone into a game with less than 8 guys in the box with everybody knowing he was going to get the ball, yet he finds a way to get yards?
I mean, that's kind of a...
But didn't we laugh at Wade Phillips when he said we were trying to stop
Sammy Morris?
That was a big joke for weeks.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It is a joke.
No one that's played the Patriots this year has given any thought, consideration whatsoever to stopping the run.
I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying that
when he's, I'm not trying to defend him by this, but I'm just saying that when he's in the game, he's getting the ball considerably more than other players at his position. Like Heath Evans is getting it 25% of the time. I would have thought that when Heath Evans is in the game, he's definitely getting the ball. I would have thought it was more like 80% of the time, but it's not.
But what about other lead backs for other teams? When they're in the game, how often do they get it?
I would like to do that. I can, you know, you can easily look up the touches on Yahoo for everybody.
Will you do that and get back to us?
Yeah, right, Fred.
Oh, come on. You could be our new research guy.
We'll call you Baxter.
Michael does an excellent job telling you how many times guys are in on offensive carries.
You're going through a tunnel.
Oh, now, I didn't do that.
A nice close friend of Mike Reese on the phone there, evidently.
Poor guy did a lot of work prior to that call.
Excellent friend.
You know, he really put his work, his, you know.
And he had it in his memory, I think, because he was driving, so I don't know if he had it all in front of him.
Right.
So, we're big with the truck drivers.
No, we appreciate that.
No, it's an interesting point. I just don't think the defenses focus on Maroney.
No,
he may get the ball every time he's in the game, but I just don't think defenses are focusing on him.
And if what you're saying is true and what the caller is saying is true, then it's even worse a case for Maroney, because if they're not focusing on him and he's getting it 50% of the time, he should have more production.
I think that was Tom's original point a month ago when he smacked me around and I had to, for the only time ever, admit that I was wrong.
Yeah, and I think, Patriot fans, all we hear is, well, the edge got his yards because he was with Manning. We heard Dye, and we bought into that last year, got the yards because he was with the Colts. Well,
nobody better to be with.
Right, this is it. This
Tom
is the
Brady,
best
Randy
offense
Moss.
In the history of pro football. Yeah. That can't be denied, number-wise.
You know what? The flip side of that, too, is right, because everybody always said that Brady would be able to do all that if he had the receivers that Manning did, and we've seen that come to fruition. Obviously, Brady was the real deal, but the other side of it hasn't happened.
Right.
And like Tom said, if you can't do it with this offense facing six men fronts, who are you going to do it against? And like Tom says, watch out this week and next week when they're playing the Jets and Dolphins. He'll run it up, and then people will be writing in next week killing us. I'll guarantee it.
Diane in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Mike Reese's blog says who wore the black jerseys today and which uniforms the team is wearing. He also says that Mike Wright is out for the season and that the team names some new players trying out for the team. Everyone who was on Patriots Radio should have photos on the web we can see. It's hard to just relate to just the names and voices, and there should be pictures of what the inside practice field looks like. I tried for a long time today to understand where it is. Is it under the stands or in a separate building? This is Diane.
Separate building.
It's in a separate building, a beautiful facility.
Yeah, Paul, I was going to say, you do PR for that facility. So
beautiful Dana Farber Field.
It is a separate facility behind the stadium called the Dana Farber Field House. It's one of those fabric structures, but it's,
as
you know,
funny as it sounds now,
it's not a bubble.
It's somewhere between the stadium and Bed Bath & Beyond.
Right, exactly.
And, a lot of people have been emailing in, writing in, saying they want pictures. You better be careful what you wish for, because sooner or later we're going to put them up there and you're going to say, take them down.
Well, no, as far as the practice facilities, I was going to say, if you go back in the archive photos and type in the keyword, like, training camp or something, you'll probably
get 6,000 stories.
Well, no, but you'll probably come for just photos. Just photos. You'll probably come across some of the inside practices that they had, and at least you'll see what it looks like when they're in there.
And you should listen to PFW in Progress yesterday, because Eric the Leg actually provided all that information that you had to wait to get on.
And also, I think you might, even if you
Eric does an excellent job.
If you go to Patriots.com and put in the search Dana Farber Fieldhouse, you might have pictures of the Fieldhouse.
That's what I was kind of making fun of you for when you said put in training camp. I thought you might want to narrow it down and put Dana Farber Fieldhouse.
Well, it may not be the inside. She want, you know, want to see what it looks like on the inside.
Do we have maps? Sounded like she also wants to know just the general.
I think she was trying to figure out where exactly it was.
Well, drill down.
It's adjacent to the practice fields, which are that's the south end zone, right?
Yes.
Behind the south end zone of the field of the stadium.
It's probably what, a couple hundred yards from the stadium.
Yeah.
In the southwest direction.
Maybe.
Get him. Who watched the game last night?
Didn't see a play.
Saw
on account of
it.
I was driving home.
A little bit of it.
You were still driving home?
Let's put it this way. I wouldn't have been able to make kickoff. But then I was out snow blowing after that. So
I watched up until
the
third quarter, then I turned it off.
It was nice, though. I'm glad I made that investment.
I'm not big on the Thursday games. It's just like I said last year. It's just another day. You know, they want me to commit myself to another night of watching football.
It'd be fine for you if you didn't get married. For you.
You would still watch it. You would commit. But
whoa. No, let's not pretend it has anything to do with the wife.
Right.
If he
I think if
it was a good matchup, you'd watch it. But if it's a so-so matchup, you're not going
to
waste one.
I like to watch TV shows during the week.
Right.
Like The Office or something. We spend all weekend watching football, Monday night football. I don't need another night of football.
You know, like that Green Bay Dallas game. I was ready for that game. I was looking forward to it. I was interested in it. I watched the whole thing.
I'd rather not have Thursday games, but I have to watch them.
The matchups that they've had since,
that's the problem. Most of the matchups are going to be garbage.
I did not see one play last night, and that wasn't because of the game. If that was Green Bay Dallas, I would have missed the game last night.
Did you notice there's no complaints about Brian Gumbel?
Yeah, he wasn't there.
No, he wasn't.
I didn't hear anybody missing him either.
I'm convinced he dresses in women's clothes.
Tom Hammond. Underwear, at least.
Where was Gumbel?
Sick. Said he'll be back.
I don't know about that.
Hey, Tom.
I don't know about that.
He appeared to be under the weather.
Yeah.
More importantly, did you see that Adalys Thomas was the halftime?
Well, I want to bring up a couple things about the game. First of all, I thought Collinsworth said something that I think he's going to get a call from the league on.
Really?
Yes.
What was this?
During the game, they were talking about, you know, guys getting hurt and the short week that you have when you play on Thursday. And Collinsworth said, I really don't think these Thursday games are good for players. I think you're putting them in harm's way. I think it's a health risk. And Hammond,
I agree with you. He might get a call from the league.
I
agree with him, and I agree with you.
Yeah. Right.
He can't say that.
He'll hear about
Hammond
that.
Hammond didn't respond, and I could tell that was like, uh-oh.
Well, yeah, the part-timer's not going to start popping off on the broadcast.
Yeah, I think Chris probably has a point, but I agree with you. He'll hear about
that. He made me laugh for the first time ever last night when he pulled a Casale. He kept trying to make a point, and the official kept saying, he first gave the penalty, then he said, like, please reset the play clock. Please. And he goes, would you shut up? I'm trying to talk. First time I ever found him. Shut up.
Oh, my God. Well, that is funny.
Bob and Regina Canada, Regina in Canada.
Regina.
Regina.
He corrects you every time.
His name is Bob Regina?
Yeah.
And he's in Canada.
It's like the...
He must have had a hard time growing up.
At least he wasn't Yiddish like you.
he watched the game and... says, on last night's telecast, Chris Collinsworth made the comment that John Lynch is a sure Hall of Famer. If this is so, why do you guys surmise that Rodney Harrison
is not a Hall of Famer?
If Rodney wins his third Super Bowl and finishes his career as the only defensive back in history with at least 30 sacks and 30 interceptions, how, in all honesty, can he be denied? Isn't the Hall of Fame supposed to recognize excellence? Sure, Ronnie Lott was the last safety to be elected to the Hall.
All worked up over nothing here.
But really, was Lott a far superior player to Harrison?
In addition,
if the Pats dynasty deserves a certain number of seats, how could anybody justify not seating Harrison? Lynch without Harrison would be a travesty of major proportions.
Well, first of all, it doesn't deserve a certain number of seats. That's not the criteria. Right. If you had a good team for a couple of years, they deserve five players.
And the thing is, Vagina.
Oh, now, you know.
Well, no, we're right and Collinsworth is wrong. Right. Why do you think that Collinsworth is right? John Lynch is not a surefire
Hall
of
Famer. I don't think John Lynch is a surefire Hall of Famer, number one.
But he had a pretty good career with Tampa
Bay. The Ronnie Lott thing really. If Ronnie Lott, let's just say that Rodney Harrison and Ronnie Lott were the same age and on the same team and they played the same spot, Rodney Harrison would not get one snap on defense. That's how much of a difference there is between Ronnie Lott and Rodney Harrison. My favorite Patriot, Rodney Harrison.
The one thing that. Whatever his name is, Regina has right, is if John Lynch is a Lock Hall of Famer, then yes,
you're
Rodney
right.
Harrison
you're
is a Hall of Famer.
100% right. Yes, I agree with that.
The only thing here is John Lynch, who I agree with you guys, is not a Lock Hall of Famer, has been to 7 Pro Bowls. He was named All-Pro twice, in the second team 2 other times. And he was... I don't know what's the NFL Defensive Back of the Year NFL alumni. I don't know what that award is. He was named that once,
Pete
too.
Rock gives you that.
Those are better credentials than Rodney Harrison's.
Yes.
But I don't think John Lynch is a surefire Hall of Famer. So
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
I think Rodney Harrison
off the surefire.
I think Rodney Harrison is a better player than.
Yeah,
John
I do too.
Lynch.
I don't
even though his resume is not as good as John Lynch's. I think that Rodney got screwed out of some Pro Bowls because of
everybody
his
hates him
because
he's a total ass on the football.
I don't think Lynch has done anything really since he's been in Denver. I mean, nothing compared to where he did in Tampa Bay.
Right.
All right, webradio at patriots.com.
I mean,
is Derek email
Brooks
address?
Is Derek Brooks a surefire Hall of Famer?
No.
Then Lynch isn't.
That's a good point.
And Derek Brooks is better than both of those guys.
Derek Brooks was the defensive player of the year at least once, maybe twice.
So I think Collinsworth is way, way off on that.
Yeah, that's an easy thing to say when you're doing a game. Yeah. You're like, oh, and he's going to the Hall of Fame. Well, you know, if everybody that's going to the Hall of Fame that people say,
yeah, right.
Like Fred says, you know, you'd have to have a whole new building. It's the Hall of Great.
Good thing Jamie Dukes and Chris Collinsworth don't do the Hall of Fame.
Well, you mentioned also
I'd be in it.
Pertaining to last night's game, Adalys Thomas was the halftime guest.
Yeah.
And he was interviewed by the four Bozos on NFL Network.
Well said, because they seemed like bozos during the interview.
And, you know, they tried, of course, to get Adalys Thomas to talk about being perfect, but he just wasn't biting. And finally, Deion Sanders says, look, you're not the Adalys Thomas that I know. You came to my house and barbecued in my backyard, and you're not the same person anymore. And that's when Adalys Thomas just started cracking up, and he just said,
could you understand him? Because I didn't understand what he said from there on
well,
out.
Well, at the end, he said, I'm going to kill you, Prime. Funny. When yeah, I see you, I'm going to kill you.
Before that, he it's like he got into some character that he knew.
Yeah, he said, what do you want from me? And then he went into something that
in a high pitch, and Deion laughed like he knew what it was. It was almost like they had a locker room character gimmick.
Yeah, it was
gimmick
an inside thing.
Kind of like our show.
Yeah,
probably. We all laugh amongst each other. No one else even knows what we're talking about.
So,
and then some of not Kevin Falk, Marshall Falk stinks. He asked terrible questions, and then Steve Mariucci just goes, Mariucci here.
Yeah,
he asks a question like just.
And Mariucci had a good question.
He
talked about how the loss of COVID changes his role.
But he just goes, Mariucci. It's like you on a conference call, Kirsch here.
Yeah, Kirsch.
Yeah, I like his style. Mariucci's.
I kind of do.
You know?
Sometimes I think he's very good. Sometimes I think he's terrible.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily saying his substance. I just like his
style. I think Falk stinks.
Style.
I just get the sense that none of them, including Rich Eisen, do a lot of preparation. They just get on and fill time.
And they have fun.
And that's it.
That's what
kind of
like
what we do.
That's what you need to do.
See, I like Deion. I just think he's funny.
I like Deion, too. I find him entertaining.
Falk, I agree, is a miserable failure.
He's the terrible.
Well, who's worse?
Speaking of miserable failures.
Falk or Emmett Smith?
Joining the show.
Unfortunately, Emmett Smith, because he can't speak.
Eric, I finally have a girlfriend, Scalabino.
Save the bread, baby.
Eric is here. Eric, the leg is out. He's got his winter jacket on, earmuffs. Oh, no, those are headphones.
Yeah.
And he's just back from practice. Yep. So, Eric, fill us in.
Outside, again, in
I'll
the
take
elements.
The meat.
It's,
okay.
On the field or practice field?
On the stadium field.
In the stadium.
In the bowl.
In the bowl. Yep.
What was on the field? How much snow?
There
was
no
brushed off?
It was brushed off. There were crews in the stands shoveling out the seats and then whatnot.
That's a bad job.
It's chillier than they thought out there. Today was supposed to be like 40 or 43 or something like that. And sunny? No.
No melting going on?
No.
Because they were projecting melting.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any of that really out there. It's cold, it's overcast, but they're out there again, just like yesterday, working on kickoff team again, same rotation as yesterday. One additional missing player who was actually in the locker room was Adalys Thomas.
Hangover, we were just talking about his interview last night.
Yeah, I don't know.
He went to kick Deion's butt.
He was talking, one of the TV reporters from the Boston market was interviewing him earlier and was telling us that he said, you know, he got up at 4 a.m. to shovel today because the guy's doing a story on snow removal around here. So
all the linebackers are cheap?
Yeah, I don't know.
Roosevelt Colvin, they give him a big deal in free agency. He's cheap. They give this guy $30 million and he's out at 4 a.m. shoveling?
Yeah.
I thought to myself yesterday, I got to be the only idiot who's still shoveling out here.
But you're not an idiot. You're poor.
Well, that's what I was. I didn't know Adalys Thomas and Rosie Colvin were doing the same thing.
Yeah. So, but we saw him
guys,
in the locker
room.
Rosie's just
it.
Cheap.
Apparently, right. So is Adalys Thomas.
But yeah, so he wasn't out there, which was odd because he was in the locker room at the very end when you know everyone was getting dressed and ready to go outside, and he was sort of like,
right, hurt his freaking back.
Right.
I don't know.
My guess is team decision will be on the.
Yeah, probably.
Oh no, do they have one today? Now today it's probable or questionable or all that.
But
the other thing he said, Fred, did you notice in the interview, is he's still promising. He said next week the Humble Pie 2 shirts will be out, the newer, better Humble Pie t-shirts that supposedly have the quote-unquote recipe on it. So really looking forward to those.
Okay.
So that's about it from practice. It's a lot like yesterday. You know, obviously the transaction was made official. I'm sure you guys mentioned that.
Yes. Yeah. Did you see our friend Spock?
Yes, he was actually out on the on the kick team.
Ah, so we were right, Tom. Special team signing.
Yep.
Nothing to do with tight end. What's he look like? Blocker? pass catcher.
He's a lot like that Jason Rader who they have on the practice squad.
You might want to compare him to somebody I can envision.
a lot like Jason Rader. I see what you're saying.
Wes Welker.
Tall and thin. Probably more pass catcher than blocker.
Okay.
Although we haven't seen him do it either.
He looked fast. Your expert opinion. You're a special team analyst. No.
You know, nothing blazing.
Okay.
But
I know from experience.
Not really.
Kind of, yeah.
So let's talk about your girlfriend.
Don't worry about that. God,
come on, I've been spending the last 8 months making people on this show think you're gay. You got a girlfriend. I got to do my due diligence and, you know, let people know that I was mistaken. You're just bisexual.
We talked about it a little bit yesterday. Paul and I did.
In the building? No.
We brought it to everyone's attention.
Yeah? She's supposedly hot. Now, he's the one who's telling me, so.
I was going to say, do you see any proof?
I will.
Can I get a picture?
I can try to get you a picture.
A real one, not something you get off the internet.
I can try to get you a real picture.
Not one of those pictures that Chelsea sends us,
right.
You know, for modeling jobs.
No.
Yeah, one of those fake ones.
We talked to Cali Girl yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Andy. Yes, we did. My first time talking with her.
Yeah, he was hitting
a lot of firsts this week. Yeah, first girlfriend, first time talking to Cali.
Now that he has a girlfriend, evidently he's feeling
it was
his
very uncomfortable. He was asking her, like, her favorite color.
She was comfortable. I didn't ask her that, though.
I think she'd be comfortable anywhere in any position.
He gets one girl to talk to him, and now he thinks he's, you know, Rico Suave, and every
right,
girl
relax,
wants him.
Relax.
It's his winky a little wet, and it's just out there. Can I say that?
Even Tom was offended by that one.
I didn't say DB.
Let's see. Todd from Nova Scotia. With the guy from Toronto thinking you're Jewish, Fred, I think it's time to retell the Fred Christmas story with the tennis racket and the lobster and the steak on the cake. Paul, I don't really follow baseball. Is this Mitchell thing actually steroids or the start of the HGH era? Tom, is Sudafed a performance enhancer or is it a masking agent for steroids? Nothing for Andy. I'm half Irish.
You should have asked Andy that question about the HGH.
Yeah, the baseball thing is, it's certainly a lot of HGH involved as well as steroids.
So,
it's a masking agent.
Sudafed. We're having a
Sudafed
holiday.
Is definitely
we're
a masking
have a holiday
agent.
Show next week.
We are.
You said, Andy? Somebody told me that next week we're going to have a big holiday show where we talk about Christmas gifts.
I think that was a joke.
Just because that's what we always do. But
okay. Well, at that time, I'll tell the story.
Okay.
I'll tell all my stories.
I like stories.
I did get a couple of those things you were looking for.
Where are you going?
In the locker room.
Oh, good.
Couple.
Did you get one from Benjamin Watson? I was going to stop when I walked by, but then I was like,
What did he have to say? Him, Harrison, and
Rodney?
Yeah. And I tried to get your boy Jimmy Sanders, but he was not
having James.
Any other.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
He was like, nah, I'm on the spot. Man, I can't think about it right now. So
Bill Belichick said the same sort of thing. You know who you should get? Your other boy, Brady.
Oh, I tried to get him.
Kyle, not Tom.
Oh, I was going to try to get Tom for you.
I think Kyle would be good. He's a thoughtful guy. I bet you he's
Tom would be
some
good, too,
presents.
But I'm going to guess he's going to blow you off.
Rodney gave a very thoughtful, very, very
Did
sentimental
you get any
answer.
Joking ones? Because I'd like this to not just be serious.
No.
You elicit those kinds.
Watson
Tom and I go in there, they'll give us the funny ones.
Nobody knows what you two are talking about.
Yeah,
nobody.
We talked about it earlier, the Bill Belichick question.
Yeah.
Best and worst, Chris? I mean,
but nobody
best
knows.
Watson gave
received.
A good one. For
no
a good
one made the connection.
He had a good receiving one.
There's a shock. He didn't have
you
a good give the, one.
You got an email from people saying
no,
they
I'm
don't
just
know what
saying,
to
cheapskate.
He talked about asking Bill a question in the first 2 minutes of the show. Now an hour and 10 minutes later, they're talking about.
I ask that our listeners listen.
That's I ask that you turn off the show because it sucks.
You're really not eating this bread,
you could just leave.
There's bread sitting here from a sandwich. You're not eating this bread.
You're not going to eat that.
Yeah,
are you
going to have another slice of pizza?
No, I was going
to. I don't
want to
see
tomorrow.
It go to waste, though.
Eat the
she
bread.
Specifically
I'm off
asked
bread.
This morning if we
it.
Had pizza, could she have a slice?
Okay.
So, Maura, we're coming.
Let's see. Phil from Austin. Here's what I hope Santa brings to some of the Patriots: to Steven Gutzkowski, a 45-yarder in the snow; to Mike Vrabel, a few more offensive holding calls; to Ben Watson, a play in which you don't get tackled by the first defensive back that hits you. To someone on the practice squad, one game on the 53-man roster to get a game check before Christmas. To Rodney, one more chance to nail Harrison, Wayne, or Clark over the middle. To Junior, Randy, Wes, Adelis, and Dante, 5 golden rings. To Teddy Bruschi, one more game-changing play when they really need it. To Troy Brown, a chance for the fans to say goodbye. And to Patriots fans everywhere, time to appreciate that this is the best Patriots team they'll probably ever see.
That's a good assumption.
Speaking of, he mentioned Seau in there, right?
Yes.
Speaking of Seau, when we were out of practice today, it was hilarious. You know, he's from San Diego in the warm weather. He's running down on the scout kickoff team, and he's got one of those gigantic hooded parkas on. And all the reporters were looking like, everyone's like going down the list trying to take attendance. They're like, we don't see Seo. Where's Seo? And finally, we spotted him. He's had this gigantic coat, and he's got the hood on over his thing. It was just kind of funny to see.
He have a helmet on?
Yeah, a helmet on and everything. He just had the parka on top of it.
He go up to you and say, hey, buddy.
No, he didn't.
Tim knows he calls everybody buddy.
I don't like him.
Oh, well, sorry.
Were we wrong on the Troy Brown thing that he mentioned there?
What about it?
When he came back to the active roster, we put him as a lock to add to that 20 or 21 or whatever. Are we not going to see a Troy
yet.
Brown active and touchdown? And all that?
I'll say that we touchdown. Will.
I think we will, too, yeah. But I feel a little less confident
playoffs,
each week.
Maybe? Playoffs?
Well, then it won't count. I thought we'd see a
regular season. That's right.
Plus, in the playoffs, I think they're trying to win.
I was going to say, I got news for you. If he doesn't play in the regular season, he's not playing in the playoffs.
Yeah, will that be this year? Barring injuries, yeah.
Tom, that's this year.
Are you taking vitamins?
Flutie, Testaverde, Brown.
Yeah, I'm all right.
You look really tired.
The Giant game.
You look tired.
The Giant game.
It's because I have sleep apnea.
I know, but with the lack of carbohydrates, you need to replace that with something to keep you...
8:45.
I'll be all right.
You look tired.
Last night.
I'm good.
Really?
All right. Reverend Ray is from Salem. Yeah. He says, I keep trying to visualize what exactly a douche canoe would look like. I come up with is Bill Polian. What do you guys think of Gostkowski? I think I'm losing faith in him. Also, has Chad Brown made it onto the field for us at all this year?
Not since he was overpowered against San Diego.
And looking
there was
ahead,
no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
Looking ahead, how many of our
that's me every single time?
How many of our defensive starters will be gone after this year? I assume Seau, Bruschi, and Harrison will have got to be looking at retirement. Anyone else who on the roster is possibly ready to step up and fill those holes?
Vrabel will be another one.
Possible to leave. Vrabel.
I think Harrison has another year in him.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
I'm not so really? Sure about that.
Possible to step into holes, guys that are backups now.
But you would hope.
Pierre Woods.
I was going to say Brandon Merriweather.
Yeah.
He's a first-round pick. That's the theory based in there. Right. Is that you draft
can
him
you
and
have,
he plays.
Can you have a ton of confidence right now in the ability of either Alexander or Woods to be rotational
right
defensive
now.
Players next year?
No.
Not right now.
You know, maybe Woods gets a little more slack. It's only his second year. Alexander's been around like 4 or 5 years now, counting his practice squad
yes.
time.
That ship,
I think that
has,
ship
passed.
Has sailed.
That hay's in the barn and rotten.
Let's see if we can get a few more out there. So I'm not sure how many guys currently on the roster right
None.
Now would project to be replacements if any of those guys do retire.
They will have to draft them and or sign them or trade
My guess
them
is they're going to they'll do it in free agency because that's generally the way they've done it, on especially with
And we know as a Patriots fan, that's a 50-50 proposition. It could be
Monty Beisel and Chad Brown, and it could be Junior Seau.
So, not a
Mike
great
Vrabel.
Feeling.
The Reverend Dallas also Thomas. Wants to know who will stay longer, Kelly Washington or Dante Stallworth?
What was that now?
Who will stay in the Patriots longer, Washington or Stallworth?
Stallworth.
And also he has some wishes for us. Tom, get healthy. The show takes a dip when you're not there. Andy, keep being the humorous sidekick. Paul, the North Shore Rocks represent.
That's the gayest thing I've ever heard.
Son of Kraft, never stop being completely ridiculous. The leg, don't lose your fascination for faces.
I won't.
I just like how he refers to Andy as a sidekick. See, you're not good in the lead role.
I'm great in the lead role.
That's not you.
You guys just get all mad.
You're more of the sidekick. You're the funny little guy. Like if this was a motorcycle, you'd be riding on that sidekick.
I have a big helmet on, though.
I don't get mad when you host. That just means that I'm not hosting.
I go off on tangents.
TG and NJ writes in, this camera stuff is getting silly. BB and Manjudas are like a couple kids playing he started it game. How do the players feel about this BS? We watch football for the sport, for the players competing against one another on the field, not this off-field crap. The league can televise Belichick and Manjidiot playing each other in Madden 08, and the players can have the day off if that's what they want. Enough. What happened to football? Is the no-fun league becoming the WWF? Maybe the commish should revoke all video privileges for the teams, assign a lead crew to shoot and produce all the game tapes, and distribute them to the teams as needed. And then he has an excerpt from a John Tomasi column from a link above. Quote, sources in New York label Jet Security Chief Ed Yarnell the driving force behind the confiscation of Estrella's camera this year. Yarnell, a former FBI agent who said blah, blah, blah. Whether Mangini signed off on Yarnell's decision is unclear, though it hardly matters now that perception has become reality. So, anyway, that's that. You guys don't have any comments?
I agree with TJ. I've had about enough of that story.
I don't care about it.
You don't care about it?
No.
The story, the handshake and all that stuff.
Now that it's pointing back to the Jets, we're going to forget about it. Okay.
No, Fred. No, I've had enough of that. That's the part of the story I've had enough of, the Jets part. I mean, the other thing has been 3 months we've had enough of that.
All right. Chris in the Bronx, another one of our
favorite
providers. He says, I love it when Fred and Paul fight. For Tom, please allow me to ride shotgun on the Dontrell Savage bandwagon. Last night, I watched part of the Pats-Jets game from earlier this year, and I'm afraid to say that I miss Sammy Morris, which tells me all I need to know about the current Lomo era. In what round would you look to draft Savage? At 5'9", 195, can he be an every down back?
Yeah, I think you're probably looking at end of the second, third round for him. He runs a lot tougher. He's one of those guys who's hard to hit. He looks bigger than that, too, which makes me think he can put on about 10 or 15 pounds. So I think he can be an every down back. Now, the problem with him, though, too, is you get where he kind of shares a little bit of the load there with another guy at Oklahoma State. But he's a tough, tough runner. He's like that Marion Barber tough where you hit him and he doesn't go down, doesn't quite throw the forearms and the punches that Barber throws, but that kind of tough runner. I mean, Barber's not really a big guy, Marion Barber.
Oh, he's pretty big, don't you think?
Check that out. No, I'm talking 5'11". He's put together. I'm talking about like weight. That's what I mean. Some guys are bigger than they're listed. You know what I mean?
He's about 220, isn't he, Barber?
I bet he's less than that.
No, he's not 220.
No?
I bet he's 5'11", 212.
And he's only 5'11"?
I don't know.
He just seems
big.
I just
made it up.
He's not a big guy.
He's bigger than Jones, isn't he?
Yeah, but Jones is 205.
Maroney is about that same size, too, right? Or he might be 6 feet, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I
don't even think he's that tall.
On TV, he looks big. Anyway,
6 feet, 220.
There you go.
220? I'm surprised.
Just so you know, I was 5'10 in high school.
I thought he was around 212, like you said, Andy.
Chris also says, for Andy, just discovered a feature on my DVR where I can expand the recording time for games. After punching in the broadcast, the allotted time pops up. I just moved the cursor to the end time and expanded to 4:30. Not sure if TiVo has that feature, but it has been helpful the past week or so. Wish I'd known that before the World Series. For Paul.
What happened?
Please play the part of opposing team scout and break down how each of the next three teams should attack the Pats. There's no one blueprint for beating them beyond the obvious pressure Brady, avoid turnovers. So what should each team do to keep in mind their respective talents and tendencies? And for Fred, please rate the current Patriots on the awesome scale to 1 to infinity. Now argue with Paul about it. I love that.
Awesome scale.
Now argue with Paul with that. I like that part.
Well, if Paul answers your question, we're going to wrap this show up
now. We don't have to real long.
We'll do that before each game.
Yeah. I don't think we need to get into that now. I don't think I could, to be honest with you, I don't think I could come up with anything for the Jets or the Dolphins. Do you guys? I mean, the Giants are a decent team, but the Jets and Dolphins, what they need to do to exploit a blueprint, I
don't
think
they
have the tools and the talent.
Hope it snows a lot.
Inside the NFL, on HBO.
I didn't see it this week.
Chris Collinsworth.
It's Collinsworth. There's no G.
In the beginning of the show, they did like a little skit. He and Chris Carter, you know, what they would say to the Jets if they were giving a pep talk. And, you know, Collinsworth definitely blew him away. he pretended he was Mangini. You know, he basically said, look, if your guy doesn't leave the field in a stretcher, I'm going to find someone else who will do it. If Tom Brady is standing up at the end of this game, you're cut. You know, on and on, this kind of thing. And they all loved it. They thought it was exactly what should be said. I want a fist fight from the opening whistle. You know, and that's what he said Mangini should be saying to his team. And now we're getting some emails about, you know, how can HBO, promote hurting Patriots and all this stuff.
Fred's been promoting it for 9 years.
Right. I think it's part of football. I have no problem with it.
But he's promoting being tough.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Right.
He's using metaphors for go out there and fight your butts off and be tough.
Right.
Some people are really stupid. You know that? Like, how could you even watch that and think he's promoting to go out and hurt a Patriot, a former player? I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Tom Scott says to you, he's from New Hampshire, he says, Tom, you should have asked Bill if he practices the post-game handshake and how the weather conditions affect the handshake.
I was going to, but I didn't know if that was something that you wanted to joke around with, so I kind of just shut up.
Now a serious draft question. Can you please explain how the value of a rookie contract is determined? He says, assuming a team has sufficient negotiating leverage, is it possible for them to negotiate a more sane contract for a high first-round pick? Or is the value of the contract slotted by the CBA?
Not by the CBA, but it's essentially slotted.
It is slotted, yeah.
Basically, you go by what the guy got last year, and then they're going to ask for that.
You get a little
The number two pick isn't going to say, boy, I'm really glad to be with the Patriots. I'm going to take $10 million less.
The number two pick this year is going to get slightly more than the number two pick got last year. And if you don't give it to him, he's just going to hold out. So, you know, both sides lose.
Josh says Fred is an ass. Fooled you. Quick question. Are we going to get another email from that guy who sends one in during the holidays recapping the past year on PFW? Who is it, that guy anyway? It's Dan Heffern, right?
That's Dan, yeah.
Yep.
Fairfax.
I don't know. We haven't heard from him lately.
No, he hasn't. Yeah.
Every once in a while he chimes in. Yeah, and he comes up with an answer.
Yeah,
something specific.
He's like his notes.
He's like the low-cal version of strippers. Hey, he comes in to answer our questions when we need him. He just doesn't do it as often as
Tom Gann says that this show is a cluster, you know what?
Did the guy from the Congo call?
The guy from the Congo?
About a month ago or a couple weeks ago, I put out a call and said we never got a call from Africa. And then a guy left me a voicemail saying he tried to call the show but couldn't get through, so he called my voicemail instead, but he was calling from the Congo to be the first caller from the from Africa.
How are people getting... I got Matt H. email in my personal email address...
Speaking of it,
the guy from the Congo,
Dan in Fairfax. I'll have my annual Christmas poem ready for your holiday show next week.
That's outstanding.
So we are having
a holiday show. Evidently, we're having a holiday show. Yeah. Is that next Friday?
Yeah. Which day is it?
I don't know.
Fred, did you think Secret Santa was today?
Huh?
Did you think Secret Santa was
today? No, they said it was started.
Oh, okay.
They started what? The
Secret. It doesn't
by the 20th. By the right
on the 20th.
It is the 20th. There is no.
Okay.
Okay. I just.
I hope was, it wasn't today. Was
no,
it?
No. No. So the holiday show.
Why? Like why did you ask?
Why we got these?
Because I'll tell you later. But I just thought maybe you had screwed up. The holiday show. Dan, this better be good.
Why me? He'll tell you later. Move on.
For Christ's sakes, I was just asking a quick question.
We have a Secret Santa?
Oh, my God.
Dan, this better be good. I wasn't happy with last year's. I thought it was mediocre.
Oh, wow.
It was like Andy's thing. The first year I got here, does the perfect season in the paper, it was phenomenal. And the second year, it was a couple of laughs.
Find someone else in mid-August who said the Patriots were going to be 16-0.
So, Dan, you better bring it this year.
And also said that they'd put a hit out on Mangini. I got lots of stuff in there that ended up being true. Cam Cameron making fun of.
It was a joke.
No,
that's
it wasn't.
The point.
No, it might have been true. You believe it was a joke?
No. Paul, it might have been true, but it certainly did make me laugh. That was the purpose for it.
John in Missouri, is it just me or is this whole humble pie deal starting to wear on you?
Yep.
Sure, it was funny at first, but it's getting old. I get the point. I'm glad Bill humbles them and that they try their best to act humble in public. Just get a new line. It's as old as the jokes about Andy's big head.
Yeah, I agree. Let's move on.
You know what else, too? I think it's backfiring on them because the media has latched onto it so much that they're asking players and Bill all these questions about humble pie. And you know those guys hate being asked those questions over and over again.
All right, let's take a break, Dan, and we'll be right back.
For great football talk, insight, and a little bit of humor, tune in to PFW in Progress.
Where nobody sucks, except for Flanders.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at Patriots Extra Points.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything. Let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, it's Friday at PFW in progress.
And all of a sudden, Tom's got energy.
We'll be here until 2 o'clock.
He'll play a song he likes, and he's banging his tables.
I'll tell you what. The only thing that little Gary does well is he plays good music, because you played Werewolf in London a couple of weeks ago, and I recently downloaded that. And now I'm going to go home and download this baby.
Are you a Talking Heads fan?
Tom? I'm a nothing fan.
Do you like Talking Heads?
I like songs. I don't like groups.
You would like Talking Heads.
I know who they are, Fred.
Why is that?
I think you would like that kind of music. If you like Warren Zevon, I think you would like
Talking. I don't like anybody.
Who's
I
Warren
like songs.
Zevon?
I think people who like specific bands
Werewolves
are weird.
In London was by Warren Zevon.
Okay, yeah.
I know. I like that song.
It's a great song.
Talking Heads are, what do they sing?
Well, this is the
Once in a Lifetime.
Once in a Lifetime.
Yeah, but that's old. That's the newer stuff that they did, which isn't
newer
anymore,
stuff.
But
is like 25 years
right.
old.
Is it Burning Down the House? They sing Burning
that's
Down
right.
the
There's
burning
another one, but
the
I'm sure that's new school for Fred, too. It was only like in 85.
Josh in Akron says, here we go. Name the Patriot you would have with you in a given situation. One, who would be your wingman? Who would be your
Harrison.
Wingman? Rodney Harrison.
To hang out with and joke around with and talk
but
crap
now,
with.
Do you mean wingman?
Like
I'd be going
out,
Brady.
Like your buddy.
Well, can I have Brady?
Yeah, but do you want it in a bar setting where
like we're trying to pick up girls,
the
wingman?
For the girls, or isn't you want it like in a dark alley?
No, I'm talking about just hanging out with it at a bar. Cali girl tells me Rodney Harrison's hot. We bringing in the babes.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely win the long ball. Now
you're in a threesome with Rodney Harrison and Cali girl.
Who would you like to
not
be?
Not a threesome.
His
I want to be.
It would have to be Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine the scraps that fall off
God,
his plate?
Yeah.
That's
God.
What I'm saying.
I think Brady's kind of boring though.
The girls don't. That's
no,
the point.
No, I'm saying like as
you're
far
not
as,
going out with them.
No,
the girls are.
But as wingman, as far as like going out having some beers
right,
and
right.
screwing around, I wouldn't want Brady for that.
Okay.
Like Matt Light.
But Fred's right. Looking for scraps, Brady's a good call.
Yeah, if I'm looking to get laid, I'm going out with Tom Brady. Or apparently Matt Cassel, because a lot of people think he's better looking than Tom Brady around here.
Yep. Well, could you go the other way? Like the ugliest person? Go ahead, Paul. Take that one. Who's the ugliest guy on the team?
Which Patriot would you throw in front of a bus?
Welker with that porn stash.
Oh, yeah. That's Welker, pretty bad.
What Patriot would I throw in front of a bus?
Teddy Bruschi.
Paul.
See, Andy couldn't get an answer out quick enough there.
I thought we were honest on this show.
I don't know. I don't really hate any of them enough to throw.
Oh, come on. You hate everyone.
Me?
Yes. And I'm not limiting that to Patriots. You hate everyone.
The only,
Can I bring back Patriot McGinnis?
I ever hated I was going to say Corey Dillon is the only one I ever hated.
I just want to bring back McGinnis.
I've never spoken to Bruce.
Which Patriot would you take a bullet for?
None.
None.
Jimmy Sanders would be the closest.
Let me put it this way. I wouldn't take a bullet for anybody in this room. I'm a lot closer with them than I.
And which Patriot would you trade a sandwich for?
Trade a sandwich for?
None. I want my sandwich.
If I'm a GM?
I think he's saying you trade the player for the sandwich.
Wes Welker.
I think that's what the question
Chad
is.
Chad Jackson, he's worth a good sandwich.
He said I would, which player trade would I trade a sandwich for? So that means I'm acquiring the player, right? If I'm acquiring the sandwich.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what he meant. So that he meant, who would, trade
who would you get instead of, then I'll change my none of them to all of them. I don't even know them that well. Why would it? You know, like seriously, why would you think that much of any of them?
I don't know where
you trade Rodney for a sandwich.
I don't know where this person's coming from. His name is Andrew Jackson, but he has food for thought. Eric's girl's a transvestite. Tom's not going to die. Fred looks like a girl. Andy's head is not huge, and Paul looks like he wears lipstick on Patriots Today.
I always hate when I'm the last one.
Because that's true.
He goes, okay, I can live with that.
Paul does wear makeup like, when he goes on television.
What was
right?
What was the thing that you were thinking it was going to be? With lip wearing lipstick.
Whenever
was the,
I hear these lists, Paul just goes, oh, what are they going to say about me now?
Right. I was gearing up for that one. That didn't seem that bad.
Eric, are you sure that's not a possibility?
Yes, I'm sure.
You've done a little research?
Yes, I'm sure.
Have you checked the luggage?
I've done my research.
Give him the old Paul Hogan.
I don't know what that means.
Crocodile Dundee, a test?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Brian and Brookline, I think Tom has been making a very good point recently about stats in football.
Doubtful.
He always says, don't give me these numbers. Use your eyes. I totally agree. I think individual statistics in football are overrated. All this fantasy stuff on the internet are getting in the way of the fact that the stats that really matters are wins and losses. I think since football is such a team game, individual performance depends more on other team factors. For example, you can have the best running back in the world, but if the offensive line is terrible, can't open up any holes, he'll end up with 0.8 yards per carry. Does this mean he's a bad running back? Not necessarily. On the other side, just because Maroney had a better yards per carry in Week 12 compared to Adai doesn't mean he's actually better. Ultimately, I don't care which players score the touchdowns, just that the Pats score them. Baseball statistics are a much better measure of actual individual performance, in my opinion, and it just doesn't translate to football. The fans need to open their eyes and look a little deeper to really understand what's going on. This is where you guys do an excellent job.
Well, thanks. And I think that is what, like, one of the things I do during the year is if I'll watch a lot of college football, and, like, if Paul or Andy will come up, they have families, so they don't get to see as much as me. But if Andy says, I like that running back from Illinois. Now, I liked him, too. So that kind of tells me, you know, here's a guy we should watch out for because two of us liked him. And that's part of what I mean by using your eyes. Like Dontrell Savage, I couldn't tell you how many yards he rushed for. I don't know how many touchdowns he rushed for. I just like the cut of his jib. Right. You know what I mean? Yep. So
it's also how we end up with, like when we're watching tape sometimes, we'll see other guys that just sort of seep in. Remember last year I liked the Smith guy that's having success now when we were watching Michael Bush and those guys. And I go, this guy's better.
Colby Smith. Yeah.
We stumble on these guys. I don't know if he rushed for 1,000 yards or 220 or...
Right.
And stats are stats. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can get to stats.
And I think that's why, because when we got the DVDs this year of all the guys, and we were able to kind of get a consensus, I think it worked better. I felt like much more part of it this year because I had seen all the same stuff that you guys had talked about from the Combine. You guys went to the Combine, met all these guys, but then I got to put a picture with all of that from watching the footage, and I think that we came up with consent. Now, we're not going to be right. We're not scouts. We're not going to be right every time.
We're right more often than we're wrong.
Well, yeah, I'll let you pat yourself on the back. Although the three of us rarely are in as much agreement as we were about John Beck. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
So you got about 17 picks the last 2 weeks.
And we all did not like John Beck. Now, he's on a terrible team, and
He's the third-string quarterback playing out the string, but he doesn't look very good.
I don't care. I'm okay being aligned against Cam Cameron in that decision.
PJ
I'll be
writes
working
in,
longer than Cam Cameron.
I think the game this week will be semi-close because of the weather you guys are expecting in Foxborough. If the game does get out of hand, I thought of another way for Belichick to rub it in. How about Heath Evans with a double move deep down the sidelines for a long touchdown catch? Wait. Ellis Hobbs is the only corner in the league that gets beat by fullbacks. I couldn't believe that play.
Hey, Hank Potee is starting for the Jets. So
I couldn't believe that play when I saw it. I know it wasn't man coverage, but Hobbs was caught looking in the backfield, and Davenport ran right by him.
It was sad but funny.
Just the same watching Hobbs trying to catch up to Davenport in the end zone. Pats 27-17.
By the way, Andy, we got globed on our...
Yeah, I know. I read it already.
Okay.
Not yours, Globe.
Oh, no. Yes, you did.
Oh, good. What happened?
We have a very similar pulse story as what appeared in the Globe today.
Oh, that's too bad. Let's see. Josh says, I agree with you guys. James Laurinaitis is the best pick if we stay at the top of the draft. I watched him some... I watched him come in when Bobby Carpenter was hurt, and he made a lot of plays. He is a fast ball hawk. He's smart. Pick up the system fast. So,
okay.
Can you pick him that high, though, guys?
I was going to say.
I've seen best. Hey, listen, you know, I always tell everyone else it's too early to look at mock drafts, but I looked at a couple just to see where they had guys going, not to what teams. And a lot of them have Laurinaitis in the top six. So, you can do it. Yeah, if that's where he's going to go.
But there's a difference between being a top six in this draft and being worthy of $50 million.
Yeah. Oh, look.
I was telling Tom.
That's the age-old problem.
Sounds like
the
top end of this draft is going to be a little weak. It may be a deeper than top-heavy.
That's the whole problem with the whole process, is that these guys aren't worth the money they're going to get. And no one is. I mean, I'm sorry.
No, but I'm talking NFL money. I'm not talking world money. I'm saying.
That's what I mean. On the cap. Like you bring up the point about Glenn Dorsey. We all think Glenn Dorsey is a good player who's going to be a pretty good pro, right?
Right.
But can you possibly bring him onto a Patriots team and have him making more than Ty Warren? Well, maybe more than Vince Wilfork, definitely,
right.
And commensurate with Richard Seymour and Ty Warren?
No.
Does that make any sense at all? I don't care if he turns out to be a 10-time Pro Bowler. He hadn't played a down yet, and he already makes more money than a very highly paid defensive line. It doesn't make any sense.
Alejandro from Bogota. Couldn't write during the week, but here's my two cents on this week's topics. One, boy, was that an ugly jacket, Rich Kotyk-esque like. I think he's talking about Belichick's jacket.
I agree. Ugly.
Two, Eric's flirting skills suck. Were you flirting yesterday?
Yeah,
you were
Cali flirting. Girl.
It is now unanimous.
I'm single. I can do that. These guys
are
married.
You notice he's not denying
can't.
That.
All of a sudden, he goes on like three dates, and he's like,
Rico Suave.
Big cojones over here.
Maybe you ought to take some pointers from us, for Christ's sake.
I don't need to
terrible.
Take any pointers.
And we're as uncomfortable.
I say if a girl's interested in you, marry her.
What's your favorite color?
Don't be jealous that I've been chatting online with
mine's pink.
I know Tom Curran wears a pink shirt. We all slam him, and Eric's like, I don't know, I kind of like it.
I never said that. And I never asked her what her favorite color was, so stop.
Three, the cult name should be the Guess What Mofos.
Mofos.
And
that's
four,
what Stephen Neal said the other mofo.
This game will be closer than many people think. Patriots 38, Jets 3. on to the questions. Is that Cali girl really hot? No.
Fred,
wow. Well, Fred.
Fred is on record saying that she is not hot.
Yeah, Fred. We've seen pictures that she claims are her.
You know what we need to have her send is video where she addresses us directly, talks about PFW so we can see it's her.
And may or may not have her clothes on.
And may or may not, yeah.
She made fun of me
and toys.
She made fun of you and I yesterday, Andy, because we claimed that the pictures weren't real that she sent us.
I don't know if I ever went on record with our weren't real.
Well, she blamed
I believe you.
She blamed
but
you
I am,
and me.
I am dubious.
Is something wrong with my mic?
Yeah, there's weird noises taken. Little Gary doesn't know what he's
Fred's
doing.
Fred's on
Charlie wore it out, Paul.
Mini Gary.
Fred, Fred thinks Cali Girl is a P-I-G pig.
Well, I didn't say that.
That's what you said.
No, I didn't.
That's what you
well, what do you mean by pig?
I was going to say by pig, do you mean size?
No, or ugly. Just like
Oh, I thought you meant like pig.
Oh, that's
good
Andy
to go.
And I have, Andy and I have a different version of pig.
Can you fix his microphone? It sounds like crap.
Maybe he should share a mic with Eric Scalavino. You could be like,
instead of playing the
pig
like sound effects, can you fix my mic?
Plug it in. Fiddle with the
He's a
plug.
Terrible sound effects guy. He plays them for like 10 minutes.
And loud above the show. We are like the sound effect to the sound effect.
Stick to the music.
When Salt called in earlier, you know,
can you stop talking? Can you fix that? It sounds awful.
What do you want me to do?
Stop talking.
Wiggle your wire.
He does that all the time.
What do you want me to do?
I don't know.
At least he wiggles his own.
Now talk.
What do you want me to say now?
Good.
Is that's better?
Yes.
It's exactly the same. Oh, I can still hear that noise in the background.
Bring down. I think when you whisper, it's okay.
Do we need a mic?
Just don't talk, Paul.
Change mics? Maybe.
But, Andy, I think your prediction before we got on the air may be coming, may be true.
What was my prediction?
You had predicted that possibly ESPN Radio had gone out of business.
Oh, that's true.
Because you turned it on this morning, and it was from ESPN Radio from Chicago, and there is no Mike Felger here. So that could have been it. It might
be
over.
Out of business. Wow. I understand.
They did a Bobby
Petrino. No, they're dialed
they just
in.
Just a form letter on their locker.
This morning would be Mike and Mike, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but Mike, you said it was.
But the whole station was out of business. It was some Chicago station broadcasting their news.
But that would have
everything.
Nothing to do with. This is really bad. That would have nothing to do with Boston, though.
Yeah, well, they're the affiliate for Mike and Mike. They broadcast it.
Oh, I mean, they didn't have anything on it.
It was a Chicago station on 890 ESPN.
They were simulcasting is what he said.
Oh, and it wasn't ESPN Radio, though.
I don't know what it was because they were doing news, weather, and something
oh,
else.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant it was but ESPN it Radio in Chicago that was on Boston.
Let me tell you this. They were talking about politics and what was going on at the Capitol in Springfield, and I'm saying.
Now I see what your point
is. What the hell is going on?
Alejandro also wants to know, whatever happened to the Hart-Baranski affair?
Oh, it's still going on.
Thompson, he's
still going on?
I moseyed on over there the other day because she came over and whispered something to him, and then he went into her office. Come to find out, she gave him a coupon for something, so I had to say, I never got one of these. And she goes, oh, you can have one. Well, she never offered me one. Now, there's a chance.
What was the coupon to?
Now, there's a chance she doesn't like me because a lot of people don't like me, but the bottom line is there's a lot of whispering that goes on in that queue between those two, and I don't like it.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of, secret bundles. Yeah. What was the coupon to?
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Oh.
I didn't get one.
I was just saying, I get those lame coupons from her. And
it's
I'm
the Beyond.
Certainly
he's interested.
Where does she get them
half
from?
The other ones don't work.
Because she's a professional
shopper. I just delete them.
Literally. She really
works here. No, she hand-delivered this one.
Oh, well,
this one
that's because I'm not having an affair with her.
And I heard her go, no, it's in my office. And then I walked around to see, and Andy went walking in. He was in there for about 5 minutes and came walking out.
It would take longer than that.
Zipping up his pants.
Time for you.
He come out of the office, zipping up his pants.
There's something going on.
What's the famous Browns-Bills shootout during the Kelly years? This is what Alejandro finally wants to know.
Browns
Does anyone remember that?
Bills?
The playoff game?
The Browns versus the Bills?
That sounds like the playoff game.
The playoff game was good. Where BB falls on his head?
Yeah.
It took Don
Beebe.
I'm used to Beebe being Bill Belichick, BB. And I was he fell on his head. I got to get video of that.
That was one of the weirdest plays. I mean, he fell directly on top of his head.
Bounced.
I'm pretty sure that was high scoring.
He should get residuals from that play. That's on every highlight.
Did I hear Denny Green was trying to trademark his rant? You know Denny. You know how I love
Denny.
They already made the commercial,
no,
didn't they?
No, but you know how I love Denny. He's always trying to make a quick buck. Apparently, he's trying to trademark his rant, so whenever you use it, it's like a Michael Buffer.
Right. Yeah.
So whenever you use the they are who I thought they were, that he gets paid for it. That guy's crazier than
Then Jim Morris certainly should do playoffs. Because
that's what they were talking about.
That has longer lasting legs, I think, than
1989 season, there was a divisional playoff game, Cleveland-Buffalo 34-30. That must be it.
That's probably
Cleveland won. That was before Belichick
was
there.
That's pre-Bill.
2 years before Bill got there.
But with BB.
Nobody said Kelly, didn't he? The Jim Kelly?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
You have no idea what Tom just said. All you said was...
No, I'm just saying, was Belichick in... Was he in the question?
No.
But I also don't know why the question
was posed.
Well, that's what I'm wondering why the question would be posed if it didn't have anything to do with
Belichick. Was it snowing in that game?
Yeah, the playoff game?
Maybe that's why, because there's going to be snow this weekend. Who knows?
All right.
It wasn't snow.
Well, Paul's looking in the Cleveland Browns media guide. Meanwhile, James in Roanoke Rapids,
Jim
North
Kelly
Carolina.
Threw for 405 yards and 4 touchdowns in that game, by the way.
Wow.
You said 19. What year was that?
89.
I was listening to the John Rook show yesterday, and he came up with an interesting stat. According to his info, the Patriots lead the NFL in the percentage of rushing plays of 4 yards or more. If this is true, then...
I have no doubt about that. When you don't run the ball, you're bound to get 4 yards
If they just stayed with the rushing attack, then they would have better stats. But then most of the games would have been a lot closer, and they would most likely have a couple losses by now.
Hey, James, remember that thing we were just talking about with numbers and watching games? Might want to.
If you only run the ball 20 times a year during the season... And you rush for 4 yards 12 times, yeah, your percentage is going to look pretty good compared to the Chargers, who run the ball 60 times a game. So those kinds of stats are stupid.
Plus, if you were really that productive running the ball, then why would the games be closer? You'd be dominating games just in a different way.
I think it's easier to dominate when you run like those old Nebraska and Oklahoma teams that ran the wishbone. They used to score 70 points and a half because, boom, you're gone.
Because one of the common misconceptions in my mind, the Patriots, the way they play offensively, they're so efficient. They have long time-consuming drives. They don't score quickly all the time. Now, they've had a lot of big plays this year, but they've had plenty of drives. Don't they lead the league in 10-plus play drives?
Yeah.
They lead the league in scoring drives of 80 yards or more. Those aren't just, you know,
it's the old thing we talked about with this team. Bill can scheme to stop a pass attack. You can't scheme to stop the run if you can't stop the run.
You're just getting
run over.
Remember
Monty Beisel and Chad Brown getting run over? There was absolutely nothing Bill could do about it. And so if the Patriots could run it down somebody's throat, they couldn't be stopped.
Yes, just a quick sidebar here. I've never listened to John Rook's show for obvious reasons.
I have not either.
Is that like the poor man's Big Show? Because has he ever said anything like not defending
sucky,
the Patriots
sucky
on anything?
Oh, I mean, why would you have what bad things do you have to say about the Patriots?
No, well, you're in the same boat with us, Fred. You're disappointed in Maroney.
Right.
So if you're disappointed in him, that means everybody else should be,
in my opinion.
That's
just kind of stating the obvious.
Well, I don't know what else he said. He might have also said that.
This is kind of funny. I was looking at their year-by-years for Cleveland, and it's like 91, 92, 94, 95, then it goes to 99. I'm like, was there a typo or something? Took me a second.
Fred still doesn't know what you're talking about. Fred, what is it?
What?
Do you know what he's talking about?
Belichick?
They didn't have a team. It moved to Baltimore.
They moved to Baltimore after the 95 season, and they came back in 99.
Glenn in Calgary, Alberta. Considering that he was a first-round pick, is Ben Watson a bust?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is already?
Paul, you can't nod your head on the radio.
I think so.
I don't think
he's anywhere near what we were.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's kind of like Maroney. He does some good things, but you thought he was going to be this down-the-field, Tony Gonzalez kind of athlete. Because he is. He's a phenomenal athlete. And where's the big plays?
You know what I thought? I thought he could catch a pass, you know, on third and seven, a five-yard pass, and maybe make sure that he got a first down with a safety one-on-one. And I've seen him about five times this year get tackled in the open field by little guys.
Well, I mean, when you draft a tight end in the first round, and he wasn't in the bottom. It was the end of the first round. But you're looking for a guy with kind of, you know, production like a Jason Witten or, you know, Antonio Gates, but, you know.
And he doesn't even have, everybody used to say, well, Graham is a great blocker. No one will say Watson's great at anything.
Yeah, Witten was a third round.
So there's two
guys
there.
No, but you're looking
at
that kind of production.
Dallas Clark. Yeah. You know,
you're looking for that kind of production. Yeah. I agree with Fred. And if he was a fourth or fifth round pick, I don't think anybody would call him a bust.
And the other issue is he's had the chance to be the guy to try to do it. He's had the chance to be
an afterthought in
a great system. And neither year turned out to be Tony Gonzalez. So he's just not Tony Gonzalez.
He's not a stiff. I just don't think he's ever turned out to be what we all thought he could be.
Let's see. PJ, listen to the podcast version of the show, so I don't know if you guys talked about this yet. But what is your take on the Texans' pick of Mario Williams now? He does have 13 sacks in 14 games this year. Could the Texans have been right all along? I think everyone got caught up in the Reggie Bush hype
machine.
Looks
that way.
And there are a lot of people that owe Houston's GM an apology.
Phenomenal.
Except he's not the Houston GM anymore.
Well, I was actually going to mention this because I saw the play on the TV that it does look like. First of all, I'm not apologizing to anybody because we've been right, too, and no one's called us and apologized. I think it was a consensus that most people believed Reggie Bush was going to be great. I certainly did. I thought he could run inside. I thought he could do anything. So I'll, you know, say that again right here. And Mario Williams is having a heck of a season. We'll have to see how it works out. You know, if
they're trending in different.
At,
I mean,
at
Mario
this,
Williams
at this
is
stage,
improving.
Yeah, I would certainly say.
But can
I
ask this question?
Wrong.
Hey, why can we say that Mario Williams is better than Reggie Bush, but we still need time to see how good Maroney is?
I was leading them to that path.
So I don't understand that.
Yeah. Now, I would say I was wrong. I thought Reggie Bush was going to be, you know, certainly, no matter what Mario Williams turned out to be, I thought Reggie Bush was going to be something that, no matter what, was going to be special.
Well, unless
he's not even good at what we thought he was going to be good at being a receiver and
a
versatile weapon.
He's been an average.
Never mind whether you thought he could be an every down back. He's not even good in the next role that you thought you'd envision him as.
How much do you think all the off-field stuff with him affected him?
He just doesn't look fast on the field. I don't think that has anything to do with what he does on the
There's
field.
There's no way of knowing that for sure. I don't know.
Dave says, I think this is Maroney's last chance in my eyes. The Jets are crappy against the run, and he got called on last time they played the Jets. But if he does not get a real chance, like 20-plus carries, then we have to be patient.
Sure. Yeah, 5-6 more years. It'll be all right.
In my mind.
At that point, it'll be he's over 30.
Right. Now he's plus 30. You know what happens
then. In my mind, the trouble for the Patriots is defense. Let's see if they can do it for 60 minutes. I also think it's in their favor to run forward and smash them, not running up the score. Maybe a shutout, 38-0.
So why are we killing Ellis Hobbs?
What do you mean?
He's a number two corner. Name all your number two corners in the league. Are they that much better than Hobbs? I bet you they're not.
Some are.
So I said name all of them.
I can't name all of them. Are you really asking me all the number two corners?
But don't you think a lot of them would be in Ellis Hobbs' category where he makes some plays and misses some plays?
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Shouldn't we give Hobbs some time to get used to the system? You know, Asante's here.
Using that logic, yes.
Let me cut to the chase.
I think the two guys are the same exact player. They think they're better than they are.
Yeah, let me cut to the chase in the Maroney Defense League because this is what will happen. I'm going to tell you, this is what the story of our show on Tuesday will either be. You see, I told you, if he gets, 17 carries for 88 yards, or what did you expect with the weather conditions? I'll give you that right now.
Brian from Aspen, Colorado, he has cast all the PFW people as Peanuts characters.
Oh, Jesus. And he doesn't like the Peanuts.
Charlie Brown, funny,
and it's obvious.
Charlie Brown, this one's easy. It has to be the leg. Yep. Supposedly, he kicks footballs, but no one has ever seen him do it.
I know from experience.
Lucy is Fred, a bossy loudmouth. Linus is Paul, Mr. Intellectual. No, Schroeder is Gary, brings the music. Peppermint Patty is Andy, just for the reaction. And Pigpen has to be Tom for the clout of superiority he carries around with him, not to mention his dirty mind.
And dirty mouth.
I have nothing on football today, but then neither does this show. Thanks for an entertaining 2 hours.
Excellent.
How come I'm the only one who's a girl?
Fred was a girl.
That's a bit in question with yours, by the way.
Yeah.
Which one is mine? The dark
Peppermint
black
Patty.
Hair?
No, that's Lucy.
Peppermint Patty. Freckles.
Plays
the
piano?
No.
No.
I really got to watch Charlie Brown if this is going
to
work.
I have to duck out because I have a meeting at 2. You guys will finish up the show.
Okay, I think we can handle 6
so
minutes.
I'm lying.
Tell Felger to come in. Let's yell at him for 6 minutes.
I got to take off.
You got to talk into the mic.
I will see you next Tuesday, and these guys will take over.
It's another one that gets you every time, doesn't it?
He does it very well every time.
And it makes that one guy mad, whoever, Steven.
And I almost walked off with the headphone storm.
Thanks for coming back to tell us that.
Where are you going?
Is that a horse? He's riding off into the sunset on his horse?
Wow.
You really do pull out ones I've never heard.
He's quite cerebral.
We don't have any emails because that bonehead has to go into his own account, and then he shut it.
Oh, God. Now,
so we no longer have emails to read from.
I think we can go 6 minutes.
Password is Revs Lose Again 2007.
I don't even know what the new password is because you had to change it.
Okay.
All right. What do you guys got?
Mini Gary, you really do need to fix this mic, buddy.
I mean, buddy.
It's annoying every
I vote for we end the show 5 minutes early.
We're right on the edge right now. You going to talk at all, Leg?
I'll talk whatever you want to know.
Tell us about your girlfriend. Picks? No, we're not doing that in the air. Tell us about your girlfriend.
Picks. Yeah, let's do it.
Is she listening?
Does she listen?
Does she know this whole shtick?
I
haven't told her about this.
What does she know about
I haven't told her where I work.
She's not really listening, is she?
I want this to last. I'm not going to tell her about you guys.
Why?
Because... guilt by association. Remember we were talking about that before?
I'm happily married. I have a wonderful child. You could learn something from me.
Yeah,
girls only want boyfriends who have good
Eric Scalabino is 38 and not married.
Not 38.
Whatever.
35?
7.
In a few weeks, I'll be 35.
Holy old.
Yeah.
So you could take some lessons from me. I'm mature.
I
have a home. I have a wife.
I have a
child.
I have everything but the wife and the child.
So you have a home.
You have a home?
I got the American dream.
Did your mother give you your house, too, like Andy's?
All right, so...
That was a shot at Andy, not you.
But apparently Eric said
evidently, I hit home.
And apparently she really gave it to him. I make a payment every month.
No, she didn't give me anything. Don't worry about it.
She gave you life.
Not as far as you
yes,
know.
Show
did.
Her a little
that's
more
correct.
Respect.
That's correct.
That's correct. So let's get back to your girl.
Yep, what do you want to know?
Does she live...
What does she do for a living?
By any chance, is she from the greater Niagara Falls area? Tom and I wanted to know this yesterday.
She's from that? No, why?
It's the Breakfast Club.
Means she's made up.
Is she fictional?
No.
What does she do for a living?
She works
her day job.
Tom, you're going to watch the Delaware App State?
Yeah.
Wow, he doesn't even listen for an answer.
See
how much I care
in.
About your life?
Tom
and
was looking for football. I could tell he was like a ticking time bomb over there.
He works in a doctor's office.
All right. Have you played doctor?
It's very hot.
Why does he have to talk
about friend. She's a friend of a friend.
See, Eric,
she's a
friend. I'm going to give you some advice.
Oh. Don't tell Andy anything.
Yeah, no. Stop saying she's very hot.
She is.
Because you're going to oversell her.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't care.
That's the one problem. See, right now,
care.
If she's
First
not
all,
like
you
Jessica
never talk
Alba.
About your significant
right,
other's
being
looks.
Hot.
You Listen. Never say that. You never say that.
So I don't care about selling her to you
obviously
guys.
You find her attractive in some way or you wouldn't be with her.
And if we exactly. don't, now we're going to tell you.
I don't care what you think, though.
You care. A
no,
little bit.
A little,
a little
bit.
Bit,
you
a
will.
A little bit, you care.
If
I
only we all come on and come to a unanimous decision that she's flat out ugly, you will care.
You're not going to come to that decision.
Big
I'm
boobs?
Telling you that right now.
Because we're never going to see her?
Big boobs? Yes. Well, that's all I need. I won't even look at her face.
That was a highly inappropriate question.
Well, it comes from Andy.
They're not married yet.
They're not married.
It's probably not, over the line?
It's probably not going to last anyway, so don't worry about it.
Why do you say that?
I'm 35 and single. None of the ones that I've been with in the past have worked out.
Well,
so what makes
they were
as
men.
As I know, this
they
the
were men. You're trying it the right way this time.
As far as I know, this is the first time.
This is not the first time.
Why did the other ones work out? What happened?
See, that was the problem. You were going for a-holes.
You're too
literally.
You're a little jealous.
No, not at all. No, not at all.
It's your creative, sensitive side and your intellectual superiority that forces them away.
They definitely
I am
like
looking.
They're intimidated.
I think it was the big nose.
That could have been. Who knows? I look for two things. I look for good looks and intelligence. Most of them have had one or the other.
I was going to say. So now you're narrowing down to like the top 1%.
Yeah, and that's
you're like Ruth's Chris with the top 3% of the beat. You're
right.
Narrowing down
that's
the women.
Right. Good looks and intelligence.
You ever hear of?
I mean,
you know,
I'd like to think
lower the standards, raise the average.
I'd like to think the three of us were able to do that. We're you know,
big
just
time.
Nothing compared to you.
Yeah,
so,
I'm not half as smart as you think you are.
I never took a shot at your woman.
No.
Oh, I would
I'm
hope not,
because
he'd punch you in the face. Then it would be go time.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying the three of us were able to find
yes.
intelligent, attractive women.
Yes, you were.
So,
yeah, Paul's
I mean,
happily
why is it
married.
So
Andy's happily married. I'm married.
Tom's married.
He's got a nice dog
by the way,
Max.
By the way, I got the card in the mail.
Oh, yesterday. Did you?
Yes, I did.
So it just hasn't worked out?
Beth got a big kick out of it.
I didn't want to put the picture of us in the wedding, but she already had
Tom just wanted the dog on there.
I just think it's stupid.
That was your Christmas card?
Oh, by the way.
Your wedding picture?
Your Santa, he might have had a red coat on, but he wasn't as good as my Santa.
First of all, Tom Santa was in a PetSmart.
I'm just saying.
Or whatever.
Everybody
not
got
in a
worked
mall.
Up.
Getting peed on.
It's true. It was probably just the manager of the store in a red suit, huh?
It was for charity, for God's sakes.
So apparently now you're dating a supermodel. Is that what's going on
she's
here?
She's very good looking.
Is there a chance that we never meet her or this store?
Well, he's already laying the foundation.
Yeah, see,
I don't think it's
going
to work
that's
out.
That's where I was going. It's probably not going to work
road
out.
With friends before.
And my guess is a week and a half or so before we're supposed to meet her is when it's not going to have worked out.
I see.
I'm just saying. Based on experience,
I want a picture
it won't
and I want one
long.
On Monday or Tuesday, whenever we
I'll try to
back.
Get you one this afternoon if you want.
You got it. All right.
Stop by a magazine store, rip one out of a magazine, and say, here she
I'm
is.
I'm sure you guys are done listening
Plus,
to these fairy tales
Wait,
that
don't go to break
come
yet.
Up with. So,
what do you mean don't go to break yet?
I broke the machine.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, no, it's good.
Boy,
you got
to stretch.
You got to stretch.
This is
that's
an embarrassing last
you
gotta
10
minutes.
You got to stretch. It's 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I got a thing. I got to go.
No, you don't.
I got to go upstairs, man. I haven't even written one word of first down. That's going to be a Monday page.
What do we got going here? What's why do we have to stretch? We're good? Okay.
We're
awesome.
See you next Tuesday.
As Fred would say, we'll see you next Tuesday after a big Patriots win.